Mandatory evacuation orders will go into effect for parts of the Outer Banks later this morning. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg will talk about hurricane preparations in the city later today. Muammar Gaddafi's forces aren't giving up in Libya, and more people are dying. CNN's Dan Rivers in Tripoli reports the rebels might be celebrating a bit too soon.
It feels fairly chaotic the way they are behaving, the rebels, from what I've seen. There's a lot of kind of running around in these pickup trucks, some of which have anti-aircraft guns mounted on them. At breakneck speed. They don't give the impression of being particularly disciplined.
A magnitude 4.5 aftershock rattled eastern Virginia overnight. We haven't heard reports of any serious damage. Geological experts say there could be aftershocks from Tuesday's earthquake for weeks or even months. Steve Jobs announced he's leaving as Apple's CEO. This iTunes fan says it's hard to believe.
He is Apple, so I think that's big.
Some people call Jobs a genius. He co-founded Apple from his family garage in 1976. He will stay on as Apple's chairman. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
How's it going? My name is Amy, and I work at Lowe's. Stop by today and beat the heat with some cool summer savings. Now get 10% off major appliances priced $397 or more. And with our great selection, you'll find just what you're looking for. Choose from top brands like Whirlpool, Samsung, Frigidaire, and Maytag. Or if you need carpet, now you can get free basic installation when you purchase Stainmaster Carpet and Stainmaster Carpet Pad. Come chill out with our coolest savings yet. Lowe's. Let's build something together. Offers valid through 8/29. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Perlman!
Yes, Mr. Fernwell?
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of those little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet!
Pardon?
But is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Sales of foreclosed homes are rising, and sales of homes repossessed by banks are holding at historically high levels. That's good, according to RealtyTrack, the firm which has compiled all these numbers. As overall home sales have slid, transactions for homes in foreclosure or owned by banks rose 6.5% from the first to the second quarter to more than a quarter million. RealtyTrack says distressed properties need to be cleared from the market before the market for healthy homes recovers. Today the meeting begins. Tomorrow, the speech. Fed Chairman Bernanke is widely predicted to make an announcement tomorrow related to U.S. monetary policy. Many are placing bets he will unveil plans for a third round of stimulus, the so-called QE3. Analysts say anticipation has been the primary fuel for Wall Street in recent days. U.S. markets have increased every day this week. Asian and European stocks are up this Thursday. S&P futures, though, losing 3 points. NASDAQ futures down 15. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business. Visit deluxe.com/marketing.
The Home Depot guarantees that you pay the lowest total price on carpet, pad, and installation. Plus, you can get special financing. So you get the beautiful new carpet you've been waiting for. You get lifetime stain and installation warranties, and you save money every step of the way. So, bottom line, you won't find a better bottom line anywhere else with the lowest total price on carpet, pad, and installation guaranteed. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business. Visit deluxe.com.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Look around you. Companies sacrifice human health and even life for profit. This is the world in which we live. And these are the lives of our fellow human beings. But we don't have to accept it.
At a time when truth is needed, when courage and strength is rare, when a voice is needed to cut through the lies.
Disagreeing is not enough any longer. In order to mandate change, we must not just show up. Now we must stand up.
It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
How inspirational is that opening? Good morning, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you on this Thursday morning First Shift program. Thank you for punching in on what is definitely an early morning, just after 6 o'clock. Happy to be with you, as always. We've got a lot of stuff to get to today. And as we work our way through the day, and I want to thank you for just being with us. I do appreciate that a great deal. The show is growing. We're getting gaining new listeners all the time. Got a great email from a young lady. Actually, two emails from Clarkston yesterday. They just happened to both identify that they lived in Clarkston, and they both happened to mention that they just started listening to the show, because I'm going to assume that maybe they know each other. I think that's a safe assumption. Nice letter from one of them. The other one just wanted to introduce herself and wanted to know where she could find a copy of that Liberals Are Smarter Than Conservatives article that I mentioned from Psychology Today, so I sent her that link. But it's just nice to know that the show is growing and that we're reaching out to people and that what we're saying makes sense to them. And I'm just happy to have the opportunity to do this on a daily basis. There's absolute truth to that, no question about it. We have a really, really great show. In fact, today's show and tomorrow's show are going to be fabulous. Today, State Senator Coleman Young II will be with us. He is an amazing guy. In fact, at 6:50, we're going to play some audio from him back in March on the Senate floor that you have to hear. It is inspirational. And he'll be with us in the 7 o'clock hour to talk about, now that they're back in session, what we can expect. You know, there are only 12 Democrats in the state Senate, and the Dirty Dozen, if you will. And I'm telling you, they've got their hands full, no question about that. Dave Holtz from Progress Michigan will be with us. Made in USA guy, is that all we had on him? His name's Todd Lipscomb, by the way. I guess I never gave you his name, huh? Jeffrey.
We got it now.
Yeah. You didn't know it? I didn't give you his name?
Nope. Just said this site owner, the guy who does the Made in USA
stuff. You felt under no obligation to ask me, hey, Tony, what might his name be?
I figured it wasn't important. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I'm just joking. I figured that you would tell us.
Well, you're right. You were right there. I did tell you. Anyway, Todd Lipscomb will be with us. Not only is he the proprietor of MadeInUSAForever.com, he is the author of the new book, Remade in the USA, and he's going to talk about jobs and how we can go find some. We may actually also have an update, and I'm waiting to hear via email an update, at least somewhat of an update on the Central Michigan University, CMU, professors' strike, or non-strike, as it were. Negotiations, the legal battle that's ongoing there. So, like I said, we've got a lot going on. We've got a lot of audio to get to. It's just going to be a good day. Now, Jeff, I'll kind of tease a segment for tomorrow, and I normally wouldn't do this, but it's kind of a big deal. As I shared with you yesterday, I got a call from a state senator who was listening to the show, who heard me say something about him that he didn't like. And he has asked if he could come on the show to defend himself, so he will join us tomorrow morning. I'm talking about State Senator Bert Johnson. He will be on the show with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 to give us his side of the story. I thought that was an interesting turn of events yesterday, Jeffrey.
I did, too. I thought it was pretty cool that, first of all, that they listen. I mean, and I doubt it's just him, but that everyone that has something to do with Michigan politics or even, you know, has some kind of stake in the show listens. And then to argue with you to a point where they reasonably called you and said, hey, can I come on and you know, tell my side of the story? And as we've been saying, as you've been saying, you're more than fair enough to have him on and say, yeah, let's hear your, you know, what you have to say. And it's not going to be one of those, you know, aha, gotcha things. It's, you know, we said, you know, this was said on the show. Here's what he has to say about it, and we're all being fair.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, he and I had a very civil conversation. I mean, needless to say, he wasn't terribly happy with what I said. But as I pointed out to him, I wasn't disrespectful, and he agreed with that. But, yeah, certainly give him an opportunity to give his side. But that's for tomorrow, so we'll save that discussion for then. But just something to tease you with, something to look forward to. And as you said, Jeff, it's nice to know that the state lawmakers are listening in, at least as far as they can get us on their commute to Lansing every day. You know, we know State Representative Harvey Santana listens to us on a regular basis, as do many other state lawmakers, and we do appreciate that. Hey, the Tigers on the wrong end of a 10-inning loss last night, and I guess you're probably expecting me to jump all over Brandon Inge, because of course right away, you know, people started blaming him on a defensive flaw. But I got to tell you, I thought that it actually was the right move to throw to second base. I thought Ramon Santiago is the one that should be taking maybe a little bit of the blame for last night's loss as opposed to Brandon Inge.
Well, and there's a play earlier in that inning as well. I mean, for people who didn't watch, and I didn't stay up for the entire thing. I saw the end this morning. But a 10-inning affair against the Tampa Bay Rays, and as you pointed out, good to see that pitching on both sides was that good that you got a 2-2 game going into the 10th. But it was a bobble by Brandon Inge that allowed Ben Zobrist, who scored, I think, the winning run, to be on base at all anyway. So you got that much going for him. He's already thinking about that. Then at the play to end the game, he gets the ball with, I think, with bases loaded.
Yeah, they were.
So he's going to second base with two outs. You know, that's the play. That's just what happens. He can't get to third base. The guy was running behind him already. And he can't throw home. That guy took off already. It's got to be first or second. He instinct takes over, goes to second. And I think if Santiago's there, then they get the play done.
I agree. That's why I'm not jumping all over Brandon Inge today, and normally I would. I'm not, you know, but there's no need to, because he did make the right play. And again, like you said, that's just instinct. I trust that he certainly knows his position. And as far as I'm concerned, Brandon Inge is one of the top three defensive third basemen in the league. So
I was just so impressed though with Wade Davis. I watched the first 7 or 8 innings, and that, you know, the kid's had a tough year, but. I was like, I'm surprised that the Tigers have 2 runs at this point.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be upset with. I mean, the bats just weren't, we had no offense last night. But as you pointed out to me this morning, the entire Central Division lost last night. So nothing lost, nothing gained.
Yeah, again, but it just gives people ammo for, oh, the Central is so terrible, they shouldn't have anyone go to the playoffs. And I can't stand that point of view.
Well, I'm not going that far, but listen, the Central Division is by far the worst of all the divisions in baseball, Jeff. The records prove that. And it'd be different if we were talking because they're so competitive, you know, that they're all in it. That's not it. They're just not as good as the other divisions, and their records prove that out. That's not, I don't think we can really debate that, can we?
Maybe. The worst in baseball, the Tigers are going into last night, were the fourth best team in the American League. That's not that bad. Texas is pretty good, obviously, the Yankees and Red Sox, and then they're number 4.
Yeah. I'm just not, you know, again, there's a lack of confidence for me. I'm enjoying us being in first place, don't get me wrong. I truly believe, with all my heart, we're going to make the playoffs, and I think that we have as good a chance as anybody once we get there. So I'm an optimist in my heart, in my core, and so I'm fine with that. I just, they don't instill a lot of confidence in me for whatever reason. So that's just the way it is for me. But I'll be okay. I thought it was awfully cool, though, that the Lions sold out the Monday night game in less than an hour yesterday. The Thanksgiving Day game is about sold out. And according to the article I read in the Free Press this morning, it looks like a lot of the individual games are selling well. So it looks like from a ticket sales standpoint, the rabid Detroit Lions fan are proving their mettle once again.
Good. Sell them before more injuries happen, because then people won't want to go.
Why you gotta throw that negative in there?
That's just a fact of football these
days.
Wow. No, there's no wow about it. Calvin's sitting out because he's a little tweaked up. You got Best, who's never been 100% since we got him. LeSure's not going to play at all this year. It's just, you know, get the tickets out there while you can.
Yeah, go ahead. All right, come on, get it out of your system.
That's it. That's what I got.
All right.
You get to see Sue. Yeah, maybe Fairley if he gets on the field.
Wow, there you go. See, you weren't done. Go on, keep going. I'll give you your chance. Come on, get it all out.
That's it.
Keep pushing.
No, I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. I totally disagree with everything Jeff Radford just said. And
you don't think the Lions are hurt at all? There's no injuries.
Every football team has injured players.
No, yeah, but you just said you disagree with everything I said. I was pointing out all the injuries.
No, you were just being a wholesale negative. That's okay. I'm not going to put, you know, I'm not going to hot sauce you.
You know, I would actually enjoy that. I like hot sauce.
Nah, not the way I would do it, not the hot sauce I would use. I didn't say I was going to put the hot sauce. I said I was going to hot sauce you, though.
We're moving on.
We're going to get to that audio on the other side of the break, because that's a pretty interesting story. And, in fact, our first shift poll question of the day, Facebook poll question of the day, is about hot saucing, and here, let me get to the question real quick, and then we'll come back and talk about it. A mother will be sentenced for child abuse for forcing her child to eat hot sauce and by forcing him to take an ice-cold shower. The sentence proposed is 1 year in jail and a $10,000 fine. Is the sentence, and you've got your responses, an overreaction, not harsh enough or too harsh. And, of course, feel free to add to that. But we'll get to this story because it is quite interesting on the other side of this break. I'm Tony Trupiano. Thanks for punching in this morning. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Traffic volumes are light out there on the freeways. Things are looking quite good. Just a reminder, south of Brewing, north and southbound between Grand River and the Lodge, that is currently closed to road construction and will be through the end of October. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast of the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 70s, though we will have some winds, a little bit breezy out of the northwest tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 50s, and then tomorrow, once again sunny, a high around 79. Currently it's fair and 68 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 on 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
The Home Depot guarantees that you pay the lowest total price on carpet, pad, and installation. Plus, you can get special financing. So you get the beautiful new carpet you've been waiting for, you get lifetime stain and installation warranties, and you save money every step of the way. So, bottom line, you won't find a better bottom line anywhere else with the lowest total price on carpet, pad, and installation guaranteed. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. Let me remind you, if you do want to join us, 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And, of course, we're trying to corral you all into starting to use Twitter to interact with the show. Question or comment. At Tony Trupiano. That's TonyTrupiano. And so here we go. Jeff, here's the story. A woman in Alaska, of all the crazy places, which is, by the way, if you don't know where Alaska's at, it's across the street from Russia. She has a couple kids, and she wanted to get on the Dr. Phil show, and she said that she had one child that was particularly difficult, and the way she disciplined him was by making him swish hot sauce around his mouth or giving him ice-cold showers. ABC, Good Morning America, dealt with this issue yesterday, and let's listen to that audio.
A verdict just handed down in the controversial case, and she may be facing jail time. Her punishment for her son was all captured on camera as part of a segment for the Dr. Phil show. Landed her on TV, and in a whole lot of trouble.
Jessica Beegley, who has six children, will be sentenced on Monday. She faces up to a year in prison and a $10,000 fine. She will keep custody of the child in question because Child Protective Services came to the home and found no reason to remove that child.
That's right. But there are some people who feel that hot saucing is a form of punishment, but not necessarily child abuse. But apparently the jury does not agree with that.
And Jeff just loves that hot saucing, in quotation marks. Just loves that.
I like how it's a phrase now.
Yeah, it's hot saucing. It wasn't just about hot saucing, though, so let's listen to everything that went on in the house.
The punishment for the boy who came to Alaska from Russia included a freezing cold shower.
You are to do what you are told!
All for throwing pencils at school and then lying about it. Beegley also admitted she would make the boy do jumping jacks to the point of exhaustion.
All right, so it's hot saucing, it's jump jacking, and it's cold showering is what it is. Now, Jeff, here's the question at hand, and I don't want to make light of any of this. The question at hand is, apparently this kid has a chronic problem. He is an adopted kid. She adopted him from Russia. So all she had to do, by the way, was go across the street to get this kid. So I don't want to make it sound like they had to go all the way to Russia. Anyway, this is she. Apparently, this kid was out of control. So, Dr. Phil is doing this segment on punishments, the extreme mommies or whatever they called it. And so, she actually had somebody videotape this. Let's point that out as well. you know, she allowed herself to be videotaped, and we know that she, we know this because she said that she really wanted to get on the Dr. Phil show, so this is why she allowed the videotaping to go on. The question at hand is, do you feel that this is child abuse? And do you think the punishment, again, would be 1 year in jail and a $10,000 fine is either an overreaction, too harsh, or not harsh enough? 888-552-3595. Again, on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. And, of course, the email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. Now, Jeff, your initial response was you didn't feel that it, you thought maybe it was a bit of an overreaction on the part of the jury. I guess I'm not, I didn't ask you that question. You thought the jury overreacted? This is not child abuse?
I just didn't think that, you know, hot saucing, seriously, that's, is there an everlasting effect here? Is it something that, it's not like it's damaging the kid's taste buds for the rest of his life.
But this isn't just about the physical component. There's an emotional, there's a mental component to this as well. It's not just about the physical component. It's like washing a kid's mouth out with soap. And, it wasn't about, it was about, of course, it being distasteful and who would want that, right? But there was an emotional component to this as well. So don't you feel like you have to factor that in?
What's the emotional response? Or what's the emotional
damage? First of all, we don't know, and not everybody can handle hot sauce the same way, right? Can we agree on that?
Sure.
All right, so some people's tolerance to hot sauce is different than others. So this could have been, in an extreme case, it really could have burned his taste buds. It really could have. I'm just saying it's possible. Now, let's go on to the next one. You know, jumping jacks until he's physically unable to do them.
Now, see, when it was just the hot saucing story, I'm like, this is, I think, slightly ridiculous. Like you said, washing your mouth out with soap. I can remember one episode of my mom chasing me around the kitchen table. and when she finally caught me, not washing my mouth. I had to bite down on a bar of soap, and it was a horrible experience, but it wasn't like, oh, I thought, oh my gosh, she's, child, it's a child abuse. I didn't think that, but it did make me realize, okay, shouldn't probably do what I just did to whatever I did to deserve this.
Can I ask what you did?
I don't even remember. I think maybe it was a, swear word or something.
No,
I'm not sure.
Not you, because you told me the other day you're a choir boy.
You said that.
I did not.
You assumed it.
I did. No. Anyway.
Anyways, right. So the hot saucing thing, I didn't quite get. And I think, that's what the point of punishment is, right? So that you learn not to do something.
Right, and obviously the problem here, again, because, if you watch the whole thing, this kid has a chronic problem. It's not like this only happened one time, right? And, I mean, that's the point, is this just didn't happen one time. So, it's not like he got in trouble once and she did three things. He's a chronic abuser of whatever, whether it's lying or disrespect, whatever it is.
Right.
And so, again, there's the emotional component that's involved here is all I'm saying. It's not just about the physical act of jumping jacks or taking a cold shower or having hot sauce put in your mouth. It's not just that. There's the emotional part of it as well. And, at some point, I raised three kids. So it's not like I have no experience in disciplining your children. Now, I got to tell you, fortunately for me, I didn't have the kind of chronic issues that she seems to be having with her child. Now, she's got six kids, and we don't know how the other five have been disciplined or if they're even a problem, to be honest.
How they were acquired.
Right.
I mean, this is an adopted kid. Maybe some of them are adopted and some of them are actually hers.
Right. And, I think that does matter because even though people say, and for some people this is absolutely true, they say, listen, I know that he or she's adopted, but I love them as if they're my own. I totally believe that. I don't question that at all. But I do think there are people that adopt, and in the back of their mind, there still is that, he's not really mine, or she's not really mine. My kid would never act that way. And believe me, there are parents that would do that. I'm not under the assumption, and in any way, shape, or form, that all parents are good parents. I don't believe that for a second. And so her intent, though, has to, and her parenting skills have to be factored in here as well, don't you think?
I would definitely factor that in. I just can't believe, we're talking about it as the hot sauce mom, and yet when you heard the rest of the punishments, to me, we should be more outraged at jumping jacks till the point of exhaustion.
Yeah.
That phrase right there got to me. The cold showers, they made it, sound, I don't know how bad it was, but you can just hear him screaming bloody murder in the background, so that made it seem worse.
Well, it was. I mean, that's his reaction to it. So whether it's, you know, maybe you and I don't see that as that extreme, but to that child, I mean, you can hear the terror in his scream. So is it too harsh is the question. Folks, what do you think? 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And again, on Twitter, at Tony Truppiano. We'll take the quick break here. We'll be back. Plenty more to get to as well on the other side of this. I'm Tony Truppiano. Good morning to you. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. This total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Things looking great on the freeways today. No reports of the accidents or slowdowns. Of course, road construction is still out there. 96 in both directions between Milford and Kent Lake Road. They're going to be working on the median there, so expect that lane shift and some minor delays in the area during the peak rush times. I'm Russ with traffic.
The weather is hot, but McDonald's is still here to quench your thirst with our $1 any size soft drinks or sweet tea. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 70s tonight. Mostly clear, a low around 57. Then tomorrow, sunny, a high near 79. Currently, it's fair and 68 at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift coming up after this.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Wisconsin Republican Congressman Paul Ryan is still giving his unemployed constituents the cold shoulder. But that's not stopping jobless workers from continuing to demand that Ryan at least pretend that he represents them as well as corporations. Jesse Russell has more.
On day 5 of the unemployed demanding a meeting with Wisconsin Representative Paul Ryan, protesters showing up in the morning were greeted by a locked office and security provided by the Kenosha Police Department. Scott Page is one of the Ryan 7, and he said the police told him they would not be allowed in the building without an appointment.
But we tried to call, and they won't answer the phone. So basically, they posted a police officer here that told us he would warn us one time before arresting us.
Meanwhile, a handful of protesters spent a second day spreading the demands for a face-to-face meeting at the Congressman's Racine, Wisconsin office.
On Friday, the AFL-CIO joins the King Center in hosting a national symposium on jobs, justice, and the American dream in Washington, D.C. It'll feature worker activists, civil rights activists, elected leaders, academics, and youth activists. AFL-CIO's Arlene Holt-Baker says the symposium is about highlighting the needs of struggling working families, the same families that Dr. King devoted his life to fighting for. Martin Luther King III says one of the last acts of his father's life was advocating for sanitation workers in Memphis, and Dr. King firmly believed that workers' rights were an essential element of civil rights. He says unions and their members were steadfast allies in the movement for human dignity, championed by Dr. King. A new program being launched by the Environmental Protection Agency could be good news for the unemployed. The EPA announced Tuesday it was hoping to use $6 million to specifically hire the unemployed as it moves forward on the Great Lakes Restoration Program. The agency is taking a page from Franklin D. Roosevelt's Depression-era Civilian Conservation Corps by earmarking the money. The program was designed to help the chronically unemployed get back on their feet and is often touted as one of the most successful aspects of the New Deal. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. The question at hand is it child abuse, and does the punishment fit the crime? You know, interestingly, Jeff, we've only had three responses to the poll, but three very different answers. One is an overreaction, one is not harsh enough, and one is too harsh. Isn't that interesting? I think it's too harsh, to be honest with you. I just voted. That's just where I'm coming from. Anyway.
If she gets a year in jail?
I think it's too harsh. I think the punishment is too harsh. I think that the fine is too harsh. I think she needs counseling. I think that's what she needs. She needs counseling.
She is getting it. And I guess, you know, there's a lot of different ways we can take this. One is, you know, these shows like Dr. Phil and some of the other talk shows, you know, if you send in a tape and it's just you, you know, getting in an argument with your kid and you're like, I can't discipline this kid, then they're like, wow, that's not, you know, there's nothing different between you and every other parent out there who gets in an argument with a kid. They're only going to take the extreme ones. So now a parent is like, okay, now I got to ramp up the, you know, if that's your focus, and it seems like this was this mother's focus, was to try and get on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Then she ramps up the punishment just so she can get on TV. And does Dr. Phil's show need any blame here?
Yes. And, you know, that's one of the questions her lawyer, of course, brings up in court and says that, you know, without the Dr. Phil show, this probably doesn't happen. And so, and we don't know that to be true. I mean, we just don't know that to be true. But what we do know, we're just going to go based on what we do. Well, I'm going to go, not we. I'm going to go based on what I know. I don't think a jail time and a fine is appropriate. I think that she needs intensive counseling. I think her child needs intensive counseling, and I think they'll get through this if there's love there. That's how I feel.
Yeah, and to go on with the punishments and the emotional side of things, there's every punishment has to have that kind of emotional response. You know what I'm saying? Where
no, you're right. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's going to be an action and an equal and opposite reaction. I mean, yes, there's going to be a reaction to no matter. Let's say the punishment, Jeff, was writing 1,000 sentences. I will not steal a pencil. There's going to be an emotional reaction to that, right?
Right, and certain and as we have said already, certain kids respond differently to certain things. If I had to write 1,000 things, I would do that and move on, and it wouldn't affect me. But what really got to me, and actually has gotten to, I think a lot of kids that I know, is when, and maybe it's not, and again, it's not everyone, because I know parents have done this, and it hasn't worked with their kids, but it's the disappointment and the raised voice. You know, when my parents were disappointed and they're yelling at me, you know, or they're scolding me, that was worse than anything. And it's not to say that my parents have tried hitting, but I think I've gotten spanked before when I was a young kid, and it didn't do anything. Like, it's like, okay, I'll take the pain for a few seconds. They tried grounding, and again, grounding didn't do much. It was the yelling and disappointment that really worked the most.
Right,
so.
And every kid's different. You know, I have three of them, and certainly they didn't all respond to the same punishment in the same way. So, yeah, I mean, you got to know your kids. And Jeff, as a parent, I got to tell you, it's not easy to discipline your child. You know, there's guilt as a parent. Even when you know the child's wrong, there's guilt that goes along with that to some degree. You know, even when you know you're justified in whatever that punishment might be, you know, go to your room and stay there for an hour. You don't want to do that as a parent. But if there's a pattern of behavior and you can't stop that behavior, then you've got to do something about it. That's all. I mean, you know, any parent has to deal with that.
And isn't it weird, though, that people will insert themselves in a situation and say, well, how you handle your disciplining your kid is just so wrong. And really, I mean, how do you know what is going too far and what's not going too far?
Well, again, that's a trial and error thing. I mean, that really is a trial and error thing, because there are times where, again, I have three different kids. They were, you know, not, let's say, as an example, sending them to the room. I mean, you know, if it works with all three kids, then you're lucky, right? But it didn't work with all three kids, you know, because, you know, one of the kids was like, cool, I get to go to my room and play with all my stuff. Where another kid was, oh, my God, I can't be out where everybody else is at. So, I mean, so everybody's going to take it differently. I do think that, as you know, part of your parental responsibility is thinking beyond that immediate punishment. You know, what are you trying to accomplish with it? You know, you've got to be responsive, not reactive. You know, but that takes some, you know, some thoughtful direction. But this isn't, I mean, it's not like parenting is a new technology here. I just think that the jury should not have found her guilty of child abuse, and I believe that the sentence will, if they sentence her to a year in jail, which I don't think they'll do, and a $10,000 fine, which I don't think they'll do, that will be excessive to me, quite excessive to me. Because what they need is understanding, counseling and some patience and some love, and I think that this family's gonna be just fine.
I just think society sometimes is so hypocritical. You know,
no question.
They'll look at people and their kids, and if their kids are acting out in public, they're like, oh, how terrible. You know, do some parroting here, parents. And then, you know, at the same time, they'll look over at a parent who is, you know, scolding their kid or is, you know, grabbing their arm too hard or, you know, is doing some kind of other punishment. And they're just like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you're punishing your kid in an inhumane way like that. Well, you know, pick one. I mean, I can't grab my kid's arm and you know, shake him or let him know, hey, what you're doing is wrong, or I can't yell at him. But at the same time, I can't let him run loose either. I mean,
well, you know, again, there's, you know, you've got to be stern. I've been in a situation with some of my kids where, you know, you're in a store and a kid wants something and you know you're not going to give in, and that kid's having a fit. Yeah, you know, yes, you sternly look that child in the face. And you say, listen, this isn't going to happen. You're not getting that box of whatever, so stop it now. Are they going to necessarily stop? No. All right? And then at some point, Jeff, as a parent, you need to make a decision. If the child's out of control, I'm sorry, but sometimes you need to leave the store. That's just what has to happen. You know, I'm not going to put, as a parent, I'm not going to put everybody in a grocery store through my child screaming fit. Because sometimes they don't stop. It happens. Not, you know, it doesn't happen often. At least it didn't with my kids. But sometimes that happens, and sometimes you have to leave. You know, I've been in a situation where, you know, we're at a barbecue or something, and someone's kids are really acting up, or one of the kids is really acting up and won't stop, and then starts to have that tantrum. You know, and you know, I'm thinking, hey, mom or dad, you need to remove that child from this space right now. Get him calmed down. And if you can't, I'm sorry, you need to go home. Why, you know, so I don't, you know, you shouldn't ruin everybody's time. But as somebody that's there, as an observer, if you will, yeah, I have a tendency to judge parents. Of course I do, because I'm a parent. And of course I think the way I've done it is right, right? I mean, every parent thinks the way they do it is right, but there are times where, yeah, you need to just get up and go. You really do.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, there is nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's just the natural part of you know, raising children. It's a part of growing up. I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes a child is sick, and the way they manifest that, Jeff, is you know, especially at the beginning of, let's say they're getting a fever or something, you know, the way they manifest that is to be really cranky. So it doesn't make it a bad child. So, you know, there are always circumstances outside of our control. Anyway, I just found that a very interesting topic and thought I would share with it real quick, and then we'll talk about it. Actually, we won't do that because after the break, I want to get into this. Well, we got time to do both. Very quick, Todd, play the Channel 7 piece. The bar owners that are upset about no smoking. This is an interesting way to deal with it.
To legally light up at his own business, Boyd Cottrell has to step outside Sporty O'Toole's bar. It's the law. Since May of 2010, there's no smoking inside bars and restaurants in Michigan.
It's absolutely devastated the place. It's like there's no, the people are not coming in if something doesn't change. And I'm talking like in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I'll be done. It's that bad.
Cottrell has publicly made his own statement, and hundreds of other bar owners and workers have put their anger and frustration in writing. Steve Mace showed me the letters. He's the executive director of a property rights group that represents bars. Mace says a large group of bar owners plan to ban state lawmakers from their premises.
They felt they wanted to make a statement to lawmakers and say, okay, we're going to give you a reminder that this is our property, so you are now persona non grata.
So don't come in.
Don't come in. We don't want you here until you want to sit down and talk to us like adults.
Now, there are going to be about, I think, 500 bar and restaurant owners statewide that are going to participate in this. Will it make a difference? Probably not. But here's the question. You know, and we actually did this back in May when we first came on the air. You know, we reached out to the community, the bar owner community, and said, you know, has the law been good or bad for you? We had problems finding people that said it had been bad for business. We really did. Now, I have a friend that owns a bar. It's killing his. You know, and, you know, especially in a bar. I can see in a restaurant. I'm a smoker, and most of you know that. So, you know, understand my bias going into this thing. But I don't have a problem with people smoking in a bar. And, you know, well, the other interesting thing is all the states that have anti-smoking legislation, Michigan seems to be the only one that can't get it right. Because all the other states, after, of course, there's always going to be a period of time where, you know, people are adjusting to it. But once they do, you know, everything either goes back to normal or business increased. Not in Michigan. Michigan, of course, got to be that exception to the rule. So where do you stand on this? Do you think that we should allow or modify the no smoking law for bars and or restaurants and or other public places? That's the question at hand. But to ban lawmakers, I think it makes an interesting statement and certainly gave them some publicity. But I don't know that it'll affect too much the law. 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, and at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. A quick break here. We'll come back. Also coming up, an amazing speech by State Senator Coleman Young II. You're going to want to hear this. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you. Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
The Home Depot guarantees that you pay the lowest total price on carpet, pad, and installation. Plus, you can get special financing. So you get the beautiful new carpet you've been waiting for, you get lifetime stain and installation warranties, and you save money every step of the way. So, bottom line, you won't find a better bottom line anywhere else with the lowest total price on carpet, pad, and installation guaranteed. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Don't adjust your radio.
This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Before we get to some audio from State Senator Coleman Young II, let's go to the phones. And I want to say good morning to David in Farmington and welcome him to First Shift. Hi, David. How you doing today? David, are you there? Ollie, Ollie, Oxenfree, David, are you there? Apparently, David's not there. Okay, anyway. David, try giving us a call back if you would like to do that, and we'll be happy to get you on. Again, we were talking about the smoking ban, and certainly 500 bars around the state of Michigan are going to ban lawmakers from their establishment. If they come in, now the staffs are going to be given a book that has pictures of all the lawmakers. I mean, listen, the logistics of this are a little ugly. Come on, let's just be honest about it. Now we have David. Now let's go back to the phones. David, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Just fine. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No problem.
Hey, I think there's a huge hypocrisy going on here that people don't want to look at. The number one is the casinos getting a waiver on the law, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. On the casino floor, you can definitely smoke away.
Yeah, and the other issue is I'm a pipe fitter, and so I'm in many factories and industries throughout the area over the last several years, and quite a number of them, especially steel mills, oil refineries, require you to wear air monitors. And if your CO exceeds 50 parts per million, it'll go off, and you are to remove yourself from that area. If somebody wants to set his monitor off, all he has to do is fire up a cigarette. So that leads me to believe, you know, if all these industries and businesses throughout the state and really country, because has to abide by a certain level of clean air to protect their employees, as I believe they should, why should the restaurant and bar industry be any different?
Well, you know, again, this is where the controversy is. They're saying, you know, David, they're just saying that from a money standpoint, this is costing them business. And, we have seen quite a few bars close down since the smoking ban. And so all they're saying is, hey, listen, let us invest, you know, into new ventilation that'll suck the smoke out. Let us, you know, put a room somewhere where at least it's warm in the colder months. Let us do something to accommodate those people that like to smoke while they're drinking. And, you know, there actually is a piece of legislation that is proposed from a Taylor lawmaker, but the Republicans aren't going to allow it to the floor. So it's an interesting dilemma, David. It truly is. I mean, we all know that from a health standpoint, smoking is horrible. I mean, no one's going to ever say, you know, come on, what's the big deal? Smoking doesn't really harm you. Of course it does. No one's going to argue that. It's just a matter of dollars and cents. Like always, follow the money.
Right. Well, I believe, you know, of course, not every single establishment is going to have the infrastructure to be able to do it. But I know, and I work out of state quite a lot, and there's a lot of states that have smoking bans. Most of the establishments have little patio areas set up and, you know, little outside venues where patrons can go out and get their fix, if you will.
Right. I get you.
You know, it's just augmenting their business to adapt to their patrons' desires.
Yep. Anyway, David, I think it's going to be a question that's going to be a question for a long time, but I thank you for your call. I don't think they're going to resolve this thing very quickly. All right, very quickly, I want you to hear this. We have State Senator Coleman Young II coming up in the next hour. Back in March, on the Senate floor, this is what he had to say to Governor Snyder.
Mr. President, I'd like to begin with a quote. And the quote is, "The end of law is not to abolish or restrain, but to preserve and enlarge freedom. For in all the states are created beings capable of laws. Where there is no law, there is no freedom." It's a quote from John Locke. And I think it's very apropos in this topic because I rise today to express my surprise to Governor Snyder. Last week, my colleagues and I introduced a resolution that would constitutionally protect the rights of our workers to collectively bargain, a right those same workers feel is under assault by the current administration. In my personal opinion, the actions that have gone on in this legislature is also a violation of the Wagner Act, which could also be perceived as a violation of the Constitution and the Supremacy Clause as well. We made it very simple for Governor Snyder. This wasn't a complex piece of legislation. We tried to put him on the spot before we had a chance to read it, before he had a chance to read it. Instead, the resolution is a mere one sentence. One sentence. And we only asked that he give us a simple yes or no answer to the question. Do you support the rights of our workforce being protected in our state's constitution? For a week, our question was only met with either silence or a series of scripted responses from his spokesperson that did not answer the question. He could, or perhaps wouldn't, give the public a straight answer on the issue. Shocking. Just absolutely surprising. So imagine my surprise last night when I heard that a news reporter had actually gotten an answer out of him on the issue. The governor's response? I don't see the point of a constitutional amendment. He doesn't see the point of protecting workers in Michigan, in this state. It was founded and built on the backs of working men and women across this country. But he doesn't see the point of protecting them in the Constitution. Really, Governor? You don't see the point of protecting the most fundamental of rights that our state's workforce has relied upon for generations? You don't see how your actions up until this point haven't lived up to your words? And that while you tell workers you support collective bargaining, they see you pushing legislation through this very chamber that would allow fairly negotiated contracts to be broken, wages cut, jobs eliminated, and constitutional principles and liberties violated? You may not see the point, Governor, but the thousands of workers that joined us here at the Capitol last week most certainly do see the point. The numbers are on our side as well, Governor. While your approval ratings continue to fall, support for collective bargaining rights continue to grow. Nearly 60% of Michigan residents polled recently support collective bargaining rights for our public employees, and roughly half of our population now supports the collective bargaining rights of all of our state's workforce in the Constitution. Governor Snyder, I am glad that you have finally answered our question and made it perfectly clear where you stand on collective bargaining. Now it is time for you to answer the families across Michigan telling you that your priorities are wrong. And I want to end with this quote. The Constitution does not grant rights to the people. Rather, it identifies the powers that the people have granted to the government. And the people want the powers of collective bargaining to be protected in the Constitution. Let's give the people what they want. Thank you, Mr. President. And I like.
And there you go, State Senator Coleman Young II. We got to get to the top of the hour. By the way, I don't mind people adding to our poll questions. Don't politicize them in a direction they aren't intended to go in. It will be edited as I edited the poll. Let's just keep it to the question being asked. Russ coming up with traffic and weather, and we got to go. I'll be right back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking great out there on the freeways. We do have one accident, 94 westbound at 12 mile. We have an accident reported there. No report on the extent or the injuries, if there's any lanes blocked, but we'll find that out and let you know the next time around. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
A much quieter forecast from the National Weather Service today. Mostly sunny, a high in the upper 70s. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 57. Then tomorrow, once again, more sunshine, a high near 79. Currently, it's fair and 67 at Detroit City Airport.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour. Hurricane Irene is battering the Bahamas. CNN's Jim Spellman gives us an update on conditions in Nassau.
The eye of Irene is about 80 miles away from Nassau. We've been getting pounded all night with these high winds. I would say easily sustained tropical storm force winds, just my sort of unscientific estimate.
People from the Carolinas to Maine are keeping a close eye on Irene. There are now hurricane watches for most of North Carolina's coast. Hurricane forecaster Todd Kimberlane says it's still hard to tell exactly what areas will be affected.
It's quite possible that these watches will be extended up the coast at some point later today or tomorrow and possibly turn into warnings.
Irene could grow into a Category 4 storm today. It currently has winds of about 115 miles per hour. Not everyone in Muammar Gaddafi's family wants to keep fighting. One of his sons wants to broker a ceasefire in Libya. CNN's Nick Robertson has been emailing back and forth with Saadi Gaddafi, who tells CNN he's trying to negotiate through NATO.
He won't tell me the terms, and it doesn't seem, to me at least, that he can negotiate from a position of strength. He's on the run, but he says government forces still loyal, and there's potential for more bloodshed.
We'll see how Wall Street reacts this morning to the news that Steve Jobs is leaving as Apple's CEO. Molly Wood of CNET says Jobs' replacement has some big shoes to fill.
Tim Cook is definitely not the next Steve Jobs. He is, if anything, the guy who has Steve Jobs' playbook, and he's gonna do exactly what is in that playbook for the short term.
Jobs will be staying on as Apple's chairman. The highest divorce rate in the country is in the South. Census officials say one reason may be because more people get married in the South. Three-quarters of kids who come from a divorced family live with their mother. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Right now, the Home Depot has 10% off appliances of $397 or more, plus free haulaway and delivery that's really free. On brands like GE, Maytag, and LG. So it's never been easier to get appliances that are more dependable, more energy efficient, and yes, shiny. An upgraded kitchen or laundry room starts with 10% off appliances. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through September 7th, U.S. only. See store for details.
I'm Charles Osgood. To all the loyal customers out there who have rated us highest in customer satisfaction for auto insurance claims experience, we thank you, thank you. And thank you. Auto Owners Insurance, ranked highest in customer satisfaction 3 years in a row by J.D. Power and Associates. For award information, visit jdpower.com. Auto Owners Insurance. Promises made, promises kept. To find the independent insurance agent nearest you, visit autoowners.com. That's autoowners.com.
While untold numbers of American homeowners wait for the housing market to get better before they sell, the market for foreclosed homes keeps heating up. Realty Track reports sales of distressed homes, including foreclosures and bank repos, rose 6.5% in the second quarter from the first. The firm says it's a good trend because distressed property inventories need to fall for the rest of the market to bounce back. Shoe store giant Collective Brands is reversing course. After years of aggressive and expensive expansion, the parent of Payless, Stride Rite, and Keds says it will begin contracting its retail presence. Blaming poor customer traffic in many of its stores, Collective says over the next 3 years it will close 475 stores which are underperforming around the nation. Asian and European stocks positive today. S&P futures positive by 2. Following Steve Jobs' announcement he's stepping down from the Apple CEO spot, NASDAQ futures are falling 10 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business. Visit deluxe.com/marketing.
How's it going?
My name is Amy, and I work at Lowe's. Stop by today and beat the heat with some cool summer savings. Now get 10% off major appliances priced $397 or more. And with our great selection, you'll find just what you're looking for. Choose from top brands like Whirlpool, Samsung, Frigidaire, and Maytag. Or if you need carpet, now you can get free basic installation when you purchase Stainmaster Carpet and Stainmaster Carpet Pad. Come chill out with our coolest savings yet. Lowe's. Let's build something together. Offers valid through 8/29. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Perlman.
Yes, Mr. Fernwell.
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of those little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That will free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet.
Pardon?
But is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you on this Thursday morning program. I have a great hour of radio planned for you. I want to thank you all for punching in this and every early morning. I do appreciate it a great deal. We have a lot of work to do. And part of that agenda includes education and empowerment and access. Access is the key there. I think we've proven, if we've proven nothing else since we first came on the air in May, that we can give you access to the people that are making a difference. And my next guest is one of them. If you were listening in the last hour, we played 4 minutes of a speech of my next guest back in March when he talked about collective bargaining and a constitutional right to be able to do that. This man stands up for the middle class. Joining us now from the 1st Senate District in the state of Michigan is my friend and yours, State Senator Coleman Young II. And, Senator, it is a pleasure to have you back on First Shift.
It's a pleasure to be here. I really love your intro, Tony. I am so fired up and ready to go right now.
Well, I get it. You know, I saw you a couple weeks ago in Wyandotte. It was nice of you to come out and say hello to all those passionate Democrats in Wyandotte. And I was honored to be able to introduce you to the crowd. As I said, I just played that floor speech on the state Senate back in March. I'm sure you remember those words well. Those are inspiring words when you talk about protecting the middle class by giving them a constitutional right that should already have been there, that this governor has continued to ignore what's right for the people of the state of Michigan. I have to ask you, Senator, as we begin after the summer recess, although you're one of those people that didn't take the time off, as we begin a new session, we understand the work you have to do. You are in the minority. Tell me what it looks like moving forward.
Well, you know something, I think that in every seed of, in every adversity, there's a seed of equal or greater benefit. And, right now, I mean, I'm thinking it's looking pretty good. I mean, I feel that, you know, if you look at what happened in Wisconsin and, how fired up they are, I think we have that same opportunity for explosion. And I think it's going to be a good year for Democrats, quite frankly.
No, I'm thinking it's going to be a good year for Democrats too. At the same time, there are certain realities. One of them is that there's a lot of legislation. Yesterday, as an example, a lot of legislation that passed both in the Senate and the House that doesn't look like something Democrats would put their stamp on. So let's talk about that struggle and what the people can do to help move that in their direction.
Well, I think that, first of all, in terms of legislation, I'm assuming you're talking about this state mandate in terms of making the employees pay more for their health insurance. You know, I really feel that, quite frankly, it's going to save costs for public employers, but at the expense of public employees, it's basically destroyed collective bargaining. And, I also think that it's really just mandated poverty for public employees. And I really feel no one took the time to see how those policies, you know, from the governor's office on down in terms of, you know, people who are running Lansing, took no real desire to see how this policy would impact, you know, on the employees and how they're living. I already have people who work in the city of Detroit part-time who live in homeless shelters. I feel this is just another mandate of poverty upon public workers. And secondly, I feel the best thing that the people can do to make sure, to ensure that Democrats win is, one, we got to organize, we got to mobilize, and then we got to get out there and vote. I think we had an enthusiasm gap last time in 2010, and I think we need to make that up by getting out there, showing up in big numbers, and voting. You know, I really feel all it takes is one person, you know, with that has a clarity of purpose and that has the courage of their convictions and is willing to go out there and spread that message among the masses. And I think we can create great change.
Well, you know, another thing that we take a look at, this governor, this legislature, placing limits on welfare. And, you know, again, at a time where we see historic record highs in terms of number of weeks and, let's say, months, and now we can say years, that people have not been able to find purposeful work. And we are forcing upon them. Listen, Senator Young, I get that we just don't have the money. I get that. I understand it. But that sometimes that means that we all need to sacrifice. But I mean, all of us need to sacrifice, and those that have should give. I mean, you know, again, the simple idea of I am my brother's keeper, if they hold on to some kind of religious zealotry that they claim to know what God wants for us, does God really want us to not take care of our brother?
Well, you know something, I'm going to say it like this. I really believe that in terms of, they talk about shared sacrifice, it also should come from the top as well. And right now, I think this is really from the middle class on down in terms of who is bearing the burden. And right now, this economy, the middle class is really starting to become the poor. And I also believe that when you have this corporate welfare tax code that we have in the state of Michigan, where we don't have a graduated income tax, where we basically have cut billions of dollars of business taxes so that we could stick it to, you know, grandma and grandpa, as I like to call it, give a fly drop kick to grandma, so we can basically rob our children of their future by cutting from education like we have. I think that this really shows the priorities that this legislature, this governor has in the state, and they're not the best, within the best interest for the state of Michigan right now. And that's why I think it's so important to get out there and vote. That's why I think it's so important to get out there and take your government back so we can have someone that actually understands what's going on. And in terms of the welfare limit, financial assistance, we're not talking about parents who might lose their children because they can't afford to have them in the house anymore. And, you know, in a time when unemployment is so high, at a time when people in my district who literally have filled out maybe hundreds, if not more, applications, and have been rejected every time, at a time where in the system where it's actually harder for you to get a job the longer you've been unemployed, I feel to just do away with financial assistance is such a cavalier, but also, quite frankly, to make it retroactive, which is unconstitutional, I think is wrong. I think it's disgraceful, and I think they have taken up a new mantra. Instead of do unto others as you would have them do unto you, I think they're taking up the mantra of we're going to do unto others before they do unto us.
You know,
I think it's terrible.
You know, Senator Young, I think about your district. There's some good stuff happening in your district. Some new schools being built. In fact, in a couple weeks, a lot of very fortunate Detroit public school children will be going into brand new schools. They will have a sense of optimism. They will have teachers that are well qualified. They will have administrators that are committed to excellence. And yet, at the same time, they are burdened and saddled with politics at a level that we've never seen before. The Detroit Federation of Teachers, the MEA, the AFT, These are folks that have had to spend an entire summer fighting for little drops here and there to try to hold on to a little bit of dignity, all the while being told by the Republicans at the state capitol that their worth is no longer valued. You can't change the way that an educator is honored through tenure and other things. You can't say one thing and then do another. And so I don't want to forget that the good stuff that is going on, it's there, it's happening. But we also have to be mindful that this can also, you know, I don't want this to turn into sleight of hand. And people need to understand the gravity and seriousness of what's happening at the state capitol.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Your future, your children's future, it's at stake. It really is. And not only just in terms of, you know, education, like you were talking about earlier, which is very important, and also making sure that we have competent, you know, experienced teachers. And that's really what tenure was for, was to make sure that you had experienced teaching staff, and it was to take political abuse out of the profession. That now has been reinstated. But it's also about your rights and your liberties right now, which are being infringed upon. The Constitution is being trampled, being torn up. You know, it's really a document that, you know, I think in lasting people have taken for granted or forsaken. And I really don't think that, you know, the Republicans think it matters anymore. And I can't tell you the number of times where I have literally just stood back and wondered, you know, do I swear an oath to the same supreme legal document that everyone else, the Republican Party did? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
It's just unreal in terms of, you know, we are going to just do what we think is right. You know, the law doesn't matter. The Constitution doesn't matter. The will of the people doesn't matter. You know, I mean, literally, it is like WrestleMania every day. In the Capitol, in the state Capitol, because it's like there's no rules.
Well, it's good to know.
A point where it's just getting out of control.
Well, I will say this, Senator Coleman Young II. It's good to know that you're there every day. It's good to know that you're advocating for the majority. By the way, I'll remind people of that. We're talking about the majority of people are represented at this point by the minority of lawmakers. That doesn't mean that their voices aren't needed, appreciated, or heard, because they are. Senator, thank you so much. We'll look forward to visiting with you again in the upcoming months.
Hey, I just want to say, Tony, thank you, man. Always a pleasure. I always get better and learn something listening to you. I'm fired up and ready to go now, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. Let's take a quick break here. We're going to be open lines for a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about the strike at Central Michigan University. And again, want to thank State Senator Coleman Young, Jr. We'll be right back.
The hottest Michigan news talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking great for your drive so far. We're still looking at that accident out there on 94 West on a 12 mile. It is on the shoulder, so expect some minor delays getting around that. Aside from that, we are looking great. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, things are looking fantastic. Mostly sunny, high in the upper 70s tonight. Still, really no clouds. Mostly clear, low around 57. Then tomorrow, yep, no clouds either. Sunny, a high near 79. Currently it's fair and 67 at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Truppiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Recently on First Shift.
Bob King, President of the United Auto Workers. Retirees are reaching out to me this morning as well, Bob, and wanting to know if you're going to protect their interests in this latest round of negotiations with the auto companies.
We greatly honor and respect our retirees, so we've always been very strong in their passion to support and help retirees. We are very, very mindful of our retirees and helping them and honoring all the contributions they've made.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WD.
The Home Depot guarantees that you pay the lowest total price on carpet, pad, and installation. Plus, you can get special financing. So you get the beautiful new carpet you've been waiting for, you get lifetime stain and installation warranties, and you save money every step of the way. So, bottom line, you won't find a better bottom line anywhere else with the lowest total price on carpet, pad, and installation guaranteed. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Truppiano. And First Shift, First Shift, First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. You know, one of the issues that's going on right now that we haven't really focused a lot on is at the end of 2011, one of the tax codes that will be sunsetted is the payroll tax. We've been on a kind of a payroll tax holiday, a 2% payroll tax holiday. That will be added in at the end of 2011. The Democrats and President Obama want to extend that at least another year. The Republicans are saying not so fast. Now, the question is twofold. Number one, is that then a tax increase? And, of course, that affects mostly the middle class. Or is it not a tax increase? Now, the Republicans are saying no, it's not. But it seems to me that, you know, there's a little bit of hypocrisy in that. When we talked about the Bush tax cuts, well, if we let those sunset, then that's a tax increase. But it's not true of the payroll tax? How can that be? And, you know, the Democrats, especially nationally, are focusing a lot on this. Senator Debbie Stabenow, who is certainly an advocate for the middle class in a fairly extraordinary way, was recently asked this question. All right. She was asked the question about, you know, taxing the middle class. And this is what she had to say.
Explain why you think that a middle class shouldn't pay part of the price for that deficit, reducing the deficit, such as reducing their mortgage interest deduction. Why shouldn't they sacrifice?
Well, middle class families in Michigan have already sacrificed over and over and over again. We've been hit harder, deeper, longer than any place else in the country. Middle class families losing their jobs or houses underwater, worried about their kids, worried about the future. Senior citizens the same way. When we go forward, in my judgment, middle class families have already given. Now it's time for those at the top who got bailed out on Wall Street, who are doing very well, people earning over $1 million a year, they need to be asked to step up and be part of solving this problem of the budget deficit.
And it's that simple. You see how nice and easy she just pointed that out? There's nothing complicated. Let's not complicate something that's not complicated. And this is not a complicated issue. All we're saying is those that can afford to pay more should be paying more. Keeping in mind that we are at historic lows in what we pay in taxes. Historic lows. So there have been plenty of opportunities and times throughout our history where those making more money paid a lot more in taxes, and by the way, they still were pretty filthy rich. So that's all she's saying. You put it in a very plain-spoken way. It's easy to understand. Nothing complicated about this at all. Let you know that at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by Eric Barron from MichiganLiberal.com. Going to get an update a little bit on the Central Michigan University professor strike, and so we'll look forward to that. We are, by the way, open lines at the bottom of the hour, so if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano, at TonyTrupiano. Any of those are fair if you want a question or comment. We were talking in the last hour, for those of you that have just joined us or maybe joined us a little late, two issues. Number one, our first shift Facebook poll question of the day is a pretty simple one. A mother will be sentenced for child abuse. For making your child eat hot sauce and an extreme cold shower. And as we learned since I wrote the question, extreme physical activity, jumping jacks, until he was so exhausted he couldn't move. The sentence proposed is 1 year in jail and a $10,000 fine. I asked the question, is the sentence too harsh, an overreaction, or not harsh enough? And again, early on in the show, it's pretty well spread evenly throughout those three answers. So feel free to ring in on that. You can either call, go on Facebook and vote. And then the second thing that we talked about in the last hour, there are 500 bars and or restaurants across the state of Michigan that believe that the smoking law that has been in effect since May of 2010 is killing their business. Many bars have gone out of business, and so now they're going to ban lawmakers from eating and or drinking in their establishment. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that this is going to work, although I support this is a form of peaceful protest, their First Amendment right, and absolutely go ahead and do it. So if you're a lawmaker and you walk into one of these places and they recognize you from the roster of faces, they're going to deny you service and ask you to leave. They want your attention. They want this law changed. So the question is, should we allow, perhaps in certain situations, maybe bars only, or maybe a separate room, or however they want to work it out, for us to take a look at amending the anti-smoking law in the state of Michigan so that more bars will feel the competitive advantage they had? Now listen, no question that in other states, the anti-smoking laws have not affected business. For whatever reason, Michigan doesn't seem to fall into that category. And I don't know what the reason for that is. We were talking before the show, and I don't know why Michigan has seen such maybe it's the economy. Jeff said, well, maybe it's just the economy, and that could be it. It could be just the economy or a combination of the two, the economy and people knowing that they can't go to the bar and smoke, therefore they're staying at home and smoking. I don't know. You know, you can't smoke in hotel rooms anymore. You can't smoke in restaurants and bars and workplaces and most public places, except on the casino gaming floor. And you can't smoke in the bars in the casino, and you can't smoke in the restaurants in the casino, but you can smoke on the gaming floor. And I assure you, I was at the casino, I don't know, about 3 weeks ago, and people were puffing away, and still a huge cloud of smoke, even though they've got the great ventilation system there. Ain't great enough. So, you know, is that an issue? Again, you know, we did the story back in May, and we had two bar owners on, and both of them said, no problem, love it. But, I have a friend that owns a bar who hates the law. And, of course, it only gets worse when the weather gets colder, because people, I mean, this time of year, I guess people don't really mind stepping outside to have a cigarette. You know, weather gets colder, not so much. And I would even think when the weather was extremely hot, they weren't too terribly pleased about stepping outside and having a cigarette. So your thoughts on that, if you've got any, feel free. And, of course, you heard yesterday that the state Supreme Court made a decision, and a major published decision. The Court of Appeals has ruled that dispensaries selling medical marijuana are illegal under the state's voter-initiated medical marijuana law. The medical use of marijuana, as defined by the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, allows for the delivery and transfer of marijuana, but not the sale of marijuana, the court said. According to the hearing or the ruling, we may not ignore or view as inadvertent the omission of the term sale from the definition of the medical use of marijuana, unquote. The 3-0 decision overturned the Isabella Circuit Court in Michigan in the case of Michigan versus McQueen DBA Compassionate Apothecary, all right, which had rejected the state's request for injunctive relief against a dispensary. So dispensaries at this point are illegal. And there may be, again, there seems to be legal justification for that. Whether you agree with it or not is another question. I don't know how well the dispensaries have been doing, to be honest with you. All right, we'll take a quick break here. Eric Barron from MichiganLiberal.com on the other side of this. Of course, your calls are always welcome. And we'll take the quick break and be right back. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is Michigan's only purely progressive talk radio show. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking great out there on the highways right now. Got a couple of accidents. 94 westbound at Van Dyke. The left lane is blocked. Also, 696 eastbound near 11 Mile Road. That's right before 75. You're going to find the shoulder block there. Some delays in there, too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Rather quiet forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 70s. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 57. Then tomorrow, sunny, a high near 79. Currently, it's fair and 67 at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
2011 was a good year for Chevy, but don't take our word for it. 5 IIH stop safety picks, a bunch of prestigious awards, and 2011 North American Car of the Year, the Chevy Model Year Wrap-Up. Get in on our greatest model year yet.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Wisconsin Republican Congressman Paul Ryan is still giving his unemployed constituents the cold shoulder, but that's not stopping jobless workers from continuing to demand that Ryan at least pretend that he represents them as well as corporations. Jesse Russell has more.
On day 5 of the unemployed demanding a meeting with Wisconsin Representative Paul Ryan, protesters showing up in the morning were greeted by a locked office and security provided by the Kenosha Police Department. Scott Page is one of the Ryan 7, and he said the police told him they would not be allowed in the building without an appointment.
So we tried to call, and they won't answer the phone. So basically, they posted a police officer here that told us he would warn us one time before arresting us.
Meanwhile, a handful of protesters spent a second day spreading the demands for a face-to-face meeting at the Congressman's Racine, Wisconsin office.
On Friday, the AFL-CIO joins the King Center in hosting a national symposium on jobs, justice, and the American dream in Washington, D.C. It'll feature worker activists, civil rights activists, elected leaders, academics, and youth activists. AFL-CIO's Arlene Holt-Baker says the symposium is about highlighting the needs of struggling working families, the same families that Dr. King devoted his life to fighting for. Martin Luther King III says one of the last acts of his father's life was advocating for sanitation workers in Memphis, and Dr. King firmly believed that workers' rights were an essential element of civil rights. He says unions and their members were steadfast allies in the movement for human dignity, championed by Dr. King. A new program being launched by the Environmental Protection Agency could be good news for the unemployed. The EPA announced Tuesday it was hoping to use $6 million to specifically hire the unemployed as it moves forward on the Great Lakes Restoration Program. The agency is taking a page from Franklin D. Roosevelt's Depression-era Civilian Conservation Corps by earmarking the money. The program was designed to help the chronically unemployed get back on their feet and is often touted as one of the most successful aspects of the New Deal. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary for Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. You're listening to 1310WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. We're going to check in now with my friend Eric Barron of MichiganLiberal.com. He, by the way, lives in Mount Pleasant, writes a weekly column for the Morning Sun in Mount Pleasant. Of course, that's where Central Michigan University is headquartered, and we thought we'd get an update and a little background from Eric. So, Eric, I want to thank you for taking the time, getting up early and joining us this morning. Hope you're well, my friend.
Thanks for having me back on. I am well. Thank you.
You know, we talked to Linda Fry, who's the president of the Faculty Association, on Monday and or Tuesday, and she obviously has her hands full. We know that, there was an injunction. Tell us what you know, Eric. Give us a little background here.
Well, it turns out that the university, in filing a brief to get that injunction, included, well, they weren't just twists of the truth, but they were outright lies. University's administration claimed in its brief that they had to cancel all classes on Monday, and that is just simply not true. It's not a distortion. It's not a twist of the truth. It's just simply...
That's a lie.
Factually, it's a lie. It's the university up until... Well, Sunday night, the university sent an email to everybody in the university community telling students to show up for classes as normal, and they didn't plan to file paperwork to get the temporary injunction. And, in fact, also more than, well, I don't know how many of the classes were held, but since most, a little more than half the classes on the university's campus are taught by temporary faculty who are not members of the faculty's union, they belong to a different union, are taught by those faculty and also graduate students. That means that probably, you know, statistically, more than half the classes on Monday actually were held and students received instruction that they paid for. So not only did the university not cancel any classes, but many classes went on as scheduled.
Well, and in fact, Eric, they really made no attempt to cancel classes.
Yeah, and in fact, their university administration's position right up and through Tuesday morning was that classes would go on as normal. Communication they sent to students after they got the temporary injunction reiterated the position that classes would continue as normal. And really all that happened was that students showed up for some classes and the faculty didn't show up because they were on the picket lines. And after 15 minutes of sitting there, students got up and left the classes because there wasn't anybody there teaching them. No classes were canceled. The university has a system that it sets up when it cancels classes for weather that includes an email sent to everybody and also alerting local media. None of that actually happened. So the university administration just simply lied to the court to get a temporary injunction.
Well, as we know, that there's a hearing tomorrow morning to decide the legitimacy of what the faculty claim, which is the university is not bargaining in good faith, that it's not an economic issue at all, that it's a collective bargaining process issue. And, you know, I know little or nothing about the Isabella County judge that granted the original injunction. Do you know much about this, Judge Eric?
Well, what I know about the situation is that it was not the chief judge who actually signed that. It was a different judge, a judge named Mark Duffy, who signed on behalf of the chief judge of the Isabella Circuit Court. The chief judge, if he actually takes this hearing, has a reputation for being pretty fair and being by the book. And I imagine he's probably not going to be very happy with, you know, when he finds out that the university administration's brief contained such a, you know, an egregious error in it.
Well, that, of course, is going to be up to the faculty's attorney to make sure that they point that out. We can only hope that they will, of course, make that compellingly true statement, because it is a matter of truth. Even the Free Press wrote in late editions, at least online, Eric Barron, on the late editions of the Free Press on Sunday, that classes would go on as planned, that they had no intention of canceling classes and that there would be somebody in each classroom, even if it were a teaching assistant, which, of course, was a lie in of itself, because, as we know, a lot of those classrooms were there was no teaching or support staff in them at all.
That's true. And, you know, I'd like to add that the temporary faculty union sent out an email prior to the faculty, the tenured faculty, taking the picket lines on Monday. They sent an email out advising their members to show up and teach classes because of contractual obligations. So the temporary faculty's position were that they supported the strike and the aims of the faculty association, but that they were obligated by the university's contract with them to show up and teach. So there's no question that the university's administration just simply lied in its brief to the court, and it's going to be very interesting to see what happens as a result of that.
Yeah.
I don't imagine that he's not going to the judge won't be made aware of that.
No, I'm sure, and it will be interesting to see how they deal with that, because a lie is a lie, I think there's something about lying in a court of law that's frowned upon, Eric, if I recall my civics lesson.
Yeah, it's, you know, this isn't just a communication to the media. This isn't just something where they're taking a position in public that is at odds with the facts. This is, and, you know, the university has done that, and they've done it in ways that are, you know, very, very transparent, but you know, this is something that was filed with a judge, and it's not, as I said, it's not something that is a distortion or a treatment of the facts to sway the judge. This is just simply an outright fabrication of something that never happened. And in addition to that, it's also the paper trail on this is also very obvious. They sent out emails, and those emails have been collected. And I know that there are other media outlets that are working this story right now. I know that the higher ed reporter from the Free Press was requesting copies of the brief, and I know that somebody from Midland paper is also looking at information, and the local paper, the Morning Sun, is aware of what happened, and I had a conversation with one of their people yesterday about it.
Well, good. I mean, you know, this is we do know that they have not been bargaining in good faith. We do know, as Laura Fry told us on Tuesday, Eric, that, you know, they basically said from the beginning, this is our proposal, which is no proposal at all, by the way. Take it or leave it, and if you leave it, well, tough luck. They've not bargained in good faith in any way, shape, or form. And I would hope that this judge, whoever it may end up being, sees that the facts that are involved in this case are compelling enough to lift this injunction and allow them to strike. Again, we understand the law. And Laura said, Eric, quite clearly on the show, they will not willingly break the law. And I respect that. I do respect that. But if it is determined that for non-financial reasons that they have a reason to strike, I'm fine. I'm coming up to Mount Pleasant and going to walk the lines with them.
Well, we look forward to having you up here, and it is, the university last weekend said that some movement had been made on some of the non-economic issues, and those issues really had less to, had nothing to do with the university's financial position and a lot more to do with the administration trying to centralize control over the faculty within the administration. And the union has come out and said that, no, they didn't really make any headway on that, and the university was, the administration was not being truthful on that. One of those was removing a bunch of people from the union itself, counselors, librarians, and coaches. And it would reduce the union's bargaining strength by about one-tenth. And, that's one of the issues that the university was steadfastly refused to move on. So if they haven't moved on that, then they're obviously, I can't imagine that would, letting coaches stay in the union would be a, sound financial issue that's really tying things up.
Not to mention these coaches can kick their ass.
Yeah,
you know, they're stronger, they're meaner, they're tougher. Well, anyway, just I appreciate you, ringing us up this morning and giving us an update on this. Of course, we're going to be, with any luck, we'll have Laura Fry back on on Monday, but we're very anxious to see. And, you know, one of the only negative to being on the time in the morning I'm on is this won't be heard till after we're off the air tomorrow. And so there's no way for us to update this, except, of course, via social media, which we will do. But we're certainly going to stay on this this ruling and see what comes of it. So, Eric, again, MichiganLiberal.com. I'm sure that you'll be keeping people up to date there as well. People can always go there for very solid and reputable information. So thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks again for having me on, Tom.
Absolutely. Eric Barron, MichiganLiberal.com. You know, Jeff, when we stop and think about, you know, Linda on the show on Tuesday, if you'll recall, and I'm sure you will, how upset she was, how emotionally involved she was, how much she cared about her membership. I mean, this was a big deal, and it is a big deal, but this was a big deal to her, you know, that they followed the letter of the law. I mean, she was very clear on that on the show on Tuesday, and to find out that the administration lied to get that injunction is really quite disturbing.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, is she's playing, you know, by the rules, you know, doing it the right way. And that's how you want to go about it. If they're going to play dirty or whatever, at least, you know, you follow, you do it the right way. And, you know, that's the way that you should be doing it.
Yeah. So it's just, this is really problematic. I mean, if we're going to play, let's just play fair is the point, I guess, we were just both making, right?
Well, you know, it's, you can, yeah, that's what it is. You play fair, and then when they don't, it makes them look worse than you by doing what you're doing.
Absolutely. All right, a very quick break here. We'll be open lines at the top of the hour. Feel free to join us. Tony Truppiano with you on First Shift. I appreciate your punching in this early Thursday morning. We've got a lot coming up yet. Dave Holtz from Progress Michigan at 8 o'clock. At 8:30, Todd Lipscomb with MadeInUSAForever.com and author of the book Remade in the USA. I'm Tony Truppiano. Let's take the quick break here. We'll come back on 1310 and WDTW right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Truppiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Blue notebooks, red folders, a yellow highlighter, pink diamond nail polish. Lauren Lockwood's little girl is starting fourth grade, so Lauren got everything on her school supply list in one quick, easy trip to Walgreens. The nail polish? That's her little reward for making it through summer. Now through Saturday, four packs of Kleenex brand facial tissue are $3.50 with in-ad coupon, and Colgate 8-ounce toothpaste is just $1.99. Simplify your shopping. With Walgreens, there's a way.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Mortgage rates as low as 2.625%, 3.05% APR. Go to LendingTree.com today, where refinance customers save an average of $353 a month or more. Click or call 1-800-578-2208 to find out how much you can save today. That's 1-800-578-2208.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
And welcome back, Tony Trupiano with you. Hey, Radford, very quickly, two likes this morning, but I just wanted, early this morning, we got two more likes on Facebook. But you and I, it was so funny because I had mentioned something about getting stuck on 666 yesterday. Unfortunately, we leapfrogged from 665 to 667 pretty quickly. But, yeah, I was a little weirded out by that.
But the possibility of 666?
Well, getting stuck there for a while. I certainly didn't want to get stuck there. And we didn't, thank God.
Hey, no truer words have been spoken than what you just said.
Yeah,
right?
Thank God. well, we're at 670 this morning, so we leapfrogged nicely. And I appreciate that. Again, we're on our, we'd like to get up to 1,000 as quickly as possible. So if you would, folks, ask people to like First Shift on Facebook. And it matters to me, and I don't even have a good reason, but it does. We're going to go to the phone now. Feel free to join us. We're open lines at the top of the hour, 888-552-3595. I want to welcome Mike in Westland to the show. Mike, welcome aboard, and good morning to you.
Good morning, Tony.
What's on your mind, Mike?
I heard you talking earlier about the budget process, and I just think that everybody, no matter what philosophical basis you're coming from, need to talk to Washington and Debbie Stabenow, and they need to do away with baseline budgeting. Do you agree?
You know what? Baseline budgeting, for those that don't know, because you tried to do that little trick thing with me the last time, and I appreciate it because, you know, you're almost respectful to me most of the time, is you can only spend what you got, is basically the definition of baseline budgeting. I wish I could agree, Mike, but I can't.
Tony, can I get, now, just for the sake of courtesy, because I know if I go outside the limit, you'll dump me quick, but baseline budgeting was invented in 74, and if it says it is normal that the budget that the government spends will increase 8% a year, and that if it doesn't increase 8% a year, and it only increases 5%, it's still increasing, but they deem that as a cut. So how can we, you couldn't have run your restaurants with a budget like that, so why can Washington accept that as a norm of growing 8%.
Because, Mike, too many people, and I can give you my liberal point of view on this, and thank you for being civil, and I appreciate the call. Here's my take on it, Mike, and again, I do appreciate the call. We can't correct decades worth of political demagoguery and political manipulation by both political parties by all of a sudden switching to a form of budgeting that would harm too many people. It would force cuts in so many areas that it would, that race for the bottom we would talk about, it wouldn't even be a race. It would just be a drop, a big, and that would be it. It would be over. It is too harmful. I'm not saying that baseline budgeting wouldn't have and shouldn't be considered in a future model of how we might be able to move forward. But I just don't think it's realistic based on, you know, again, all of the debt that we have. Again, I'm giving responsibility to both political parties. And I'm not saying that this president or any other president cares, because I don't think at the end of the day they go, what's the best way to do this and still be responsible, because they don't. I get that. Okay? But it's just not realistic at this time. Now, again, if you're a conservative or you're a Tea Party person, you know, Bob sends me an email about the payroll tax and how it is actually hurting the Social Security because we are, again, now underfunding it. You know, Bob, I'll respond to your email vocally. And I'm normally a long-term thinker, and for the most part I'm a long-term thinker, but this is one of those situations where in the short term it helps people. Now, I wouldn't embrace the 2% cut and the payroll tax is a long-term solution, absolutely would not embrace that. But in the short term, where we still have a depressed economy and too many people out of work, Of course, those people out of work aren't making a payroll tax, although I don't think people realize that your unemployment is taxed. It is taxed, which I never made a whole lot of sense to me. So anyway, yeah, again, part of that liberal mindset says, yeah, you can play with the rules because sometimes you have to look at the reality, not just at the practicality. Fair enough? All right, Amir joins us now. Again, 888-552-3595. Amir in Detroit, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in, my friend. What's going on?
Just 2 points. First off, the one difference between government and corporations is government's not a business. Corporations have to look at bottom line. Government, we have to look at our people and what is needed for our people and make and adjust things correctly within our budget so that it actually helps the people so that we can have sound budget. But we're not a business. I don't look at a bottom line saying, oh, we need to be up under this, but I got hungry families, children not being educated. What is that going to do to our actual bottom line, period? That's another thing a lot of these conservatives need to look at. And first off, you want to talk about they want to eliminate regulation. Well, the smoking ban on bars and restaurants, ain't that a regulation?
Absolutely.
Oh, so there you go. They knock that regulation off and allow them to say if they want to have a non-smoking bar or a smoking bar.
Well, again,
but in public facilities, I think you should keep it banned.
You know, Amir, and that's the thing I find interesting about this because, you know, this was a, by the way, the smoking ban was a bipartisan effort. So I want to be clear about that up front. That was not a Republican thing. It was a bipartisan thing. Now, the Democrats had been the one that had been stopping it. I want to go back to this Republican mantra, this free market stuff. Let businesses do what they do best. You just said it perfectly. If they want a no-smoking establishment, as many did, you can have one. So why did we need the government to come in and tell us not to do this? Because, you know, again, we don't know what's right for us, right? So let me use the health care argument a minute. Well, it's unhealthy, and we're, you know, the third-hand smoke. You know what? That's not government's decision to make. So they want to play that game. They just want to play it when it's convenient for them, Amir, and I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of it. I know too many people. Let's take another practical look at this, Amir. What happens when less people go into the bar? They do what? Make less money, right?
Very true.
All right. What happens when they make less money, Amir? How much money they send into the government?
Not as much money as they were before.
Gee.
So there's less money going into our government, which less ways we can fund things that we need to fund things. So it's just the talking point. People talk back. Don't talk to me about the talking point. Don't try to make me understand something with a talking point. Talk to me with facts and numbers and tell me why we put more regulation on people. You know, since they want to deregulate everything, I guess we're going to eliminate the laws for murder and stuff.
Well, again, then, Amir, as always, I value your phone call and your point of view, and Amir's 100% right. And this is what I have said from day one. This is exactly what Amir said is exactly what this show is about. Give me facts. I don't need talking points. I don't need philosophy. I need facts. And the facts are the smoking ban has hurt not only the state of Michigan, it's hurt individual businesses. And, you know, fair enough. But you can't say you're pro-business and then vote for an anti-business bill. And then say it's because of health care reasons when you want us to stay out of health care. Make up your mind. Russ coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. Tony Trupiano with you on WDTW. We'll take a quick break here when we come back. David Holtz from Progress Michigan. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Some accidents out there, a plethora of them. 696 westbound before Woodward with an accident there blocking the right lane. 696 eastbound near 11 Mile. Shoulder block there, 75 northbound at 9 Mile. We have an accident there blocking the shoulder. And then the big one, 94 westbound at Van Dyke. Only one lane is open. Expect some heavy delays behind that one. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 70s. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 57. Then tomorrow, sunny, a high near 78. Currently, it's partly cloudy and 65 at Detroit Metro Airport. I'm Russ with traffic.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Todd from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, the Bahamas are getting hammered by Hurricane Irene. It's a Category 3 storm with 115 mile-per-hour winds. CNN's Jim Spellman is in Nassau, where residents have big worries about this major hurricane.
Storm surge is one of the big concerns here. Very flat islands here, and really not very much room on only about 20 miles wide for people to get out of the way.
The next stop for Irene could be North Carolina's Outer Banks before it heads up the East Coast. CNN meteorologist Jackie Jarrah says you should be preparing right now.
You've got 48 hours before you're going to start to feel the impact of the storm in the Carolinas.
New York is also prepping for the storm, and Mayor Michael Bloomberg will give an update later this morning. Libyan rebels are still getting a fight from Muammar Gaddafi's forces at his compound in Tripoli. CNN's Sarah Seidner reports there's a good chance they still believe their own leader's propaganda.
What we're hearing from people who were real loyalists is that they believed what they were hearing from the Gaddafi regime, that the Gaddafi regime was in complete control, or control of 80% of Tripoli, and was in complete control of the rest of the country. And suddenly they're faced with the reality.
Steve Jobs is being called one of the great innovators in modern history. Jobs announced he's leaving as Apple's CEO. This iTunes fan says he hates to see him go.
Yeah, I admire him, and I'm sad to hear that he stepped down.
Jobs helped start Apple from his parents' garage in 1976, and since then he's given us iTunes, the MacBook, the iPhone, and the iPad. The most stolen vehicle in the country is still the Cadillac Escalade. This is the fourth year in a row the Escalade has topped the list from the Highway Loss Data Institute. Thieves steal or steal from about 10 of every 1,000 Escalades on the road. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Right now, the Home Depot has 10% off appliances of $397 or more. Plus, free haul away and delivery that's really free on brands like GE, Maytag, and LG. So it's never been easier to get appliances that are more dependable, more energy efficient, and yes, shiny. An upgraded kitchen or laundry room starts with 10% off appliances. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through September 7th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. Give me 30 seconds because I've got some financial information that could make a big difference in your life. Mortgage interest rates are the lowest we've seen in generations. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.99%. APR 4.22%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-970-2611. That's 800-970-2611. Don't let this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity pass you by.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
More than a quarter million homes in trouble sold last quarter. That is six times the normal number of foreclosed and bank-owned home sales in a once-typical three-month period. But RealtyTrack, which measures these sales, says it is good news. The faster troubled properties sell and get off the market, the faster the overall housing industry can begin some type of recovery. Today is when one of the most anticipated economic meetings in years begins in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Many Wall Street analysts expect Fed Chief Ben Bernanke may announce a new round of Treasury buybacks, known as QE3, when he delivers a speech tomorrow. This is the same venue where he announced QE2. If the analysts are wrong, this week's impressive Wall Street gains could be in peril. For now, we are mostly higher. S&P futures gaining 3, Dow futures up 34. Following the announcement by Apple that Steve Jobs is stepping down from the CEO post, NASDAQ futures are negative by 6 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business. Visit deluxe.com/marketing.
Right now, the Home Depot has 10% off appliances of $397 or more, plus free haulaway and delivery that's really free on brands like GE, Maytag, and LG. So it's never been easier to get appliances that are more dependable, more energy efficient, and yes, shiny. An upgraded kitchen or laundry room starts with 10% off appliances. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through September 7th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. Give me 30 seconds because I've got some financial information that could make a big difference in your life. Mortgage interest rates are the lowest we've seen in generations. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.99%. APR 4.22%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-970-2611. That's 800-970-2611. Don't let this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity pass you by.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized.
I am not going to sit on my ass as the events that affect me unfold to determine the course of my life. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to defend it. I'm going to defend it.
You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work. On First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody, or welcome back. Either one works. Good morning to you. This is the third hour of the First Shift program on this Thursday morning, and it's been a great morning so far. I have no reason to believe that this hour won't be any different. In fact, I got an amazing hour. We got Dave Holtz coming up here in just a moment. And then at the bottom of the hour, Todd Lipscomb from Made in USA Forever. .com. He's also the author of the book Remade in the USA, and we're going to talk about both of those, so looking forward to doing that. And of course, as we have time, or if you'd like to comment on what my guests are talking about, you're always welcome to do that. 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org, and of course on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. And I know Jeff is still anxiously awaiting for one of you to send me something on Twitter that has something to do with the show, because it'll make him happy. Will it not, Jeff?
Twitter always makes me happy.
Yeah. Jeff sent me during the break, his dad had sent him one of those chain emails, you know, that you forward to people, and this one is just a bunch of signs. My favorite one so far is the teeth one. Please don't come to work if you don't have your teeth.
Or at least provide proof that you're getting some.
Yeah. And then the other one is the construction sign that, you know, those ones that flash and... It says, you'll never get to work on time, ha ha. Anyway, some pretty funny stuff. But we got some serious stuff to get to in this hour, so let's go there right now. If you would, please, the introduction.
As we do every week at this time, we welcome the Executive Director of Progress Michigan, David Holtz.
And we do welcome back to the program, Mr. David Holtz. And Dave, as always, a pleasure to have you on. Happy Thursday to you, sir.
Good morning, Tony.
Pleasure to have you. How you been?
I've been great. Enjoying the weather finally turning away from some of the storms we had over the last couple of days, and actually looking forward to going up to Lake Michigan campgrounds with the Sierra Club this weekend. They're giving Progress Michigan an award for online advocacy.
Wonderful, and certainly well-deserved. You know, Dave, I was talking about this on the show on Monday. I'm actually seeing leaves turning colors already, so fall is not too far off in the distant future.
Yeah, you sort of feel it. I feel it a little bit in the morning when I'm out watering my tomato plants is when I notice the change.
Yep, absolutely. It's there. Well, listen, change comes in many different ways. See how you like this segue, Dave. Change comes in many different ways. And in politics, well, if we go back to the mid-70s, there was a group called the American Legislative Exchange Council. We take that to modern-day time, of course known as ELEC. Take it to modern-day time. My, how they've reinvented themselves. And, well, the state of Michigan certainly is no stranger to ELEC. In fact, this audience, Dave, is no stranger to ELEC. We've talked about them. Certainly three or four times, but, you know, for those, because I got an email on this from someone yesterday, for those that aren't familiar with ELEC, Dave Holtz, who are they?
Well, first of all, ELEC is not a person. It's an acronym for a secretive corporate-funded state policy front group called the American Legislative Exchange Council. And their exchange is pretty straightforward. They take about $6 million a year from corporate powers in exchange for linking them directly to hundreds of right-wing state legislators.
Yes. Now, what's interesting about that is there are a couple different ways you can be a member, Dave Holtz. You can, if you're a corporation, there's a fee. And if you're a lawmaker, there's a fee. Of course, those fees are radically different. I think corporations basically are at least $100,000 a year to join. Lawmakers, not so much. A little bit easier for lawmakers to get on and get in on the goods. $100 to $200 a year, Dave. I think that speaks volumes about where this information's coming from.
Yeah, and we recently, this week, with We Are the People, based on research that was done, identified 14 lawmakers here in Michigan who are members of ELEC, and we got to pay their dues, $1,300, which isn't a lot of money in the big picture, but it just doesn't seem appropriate that we should be paying anything for these folks to be rubbing shoulders at fancy resorts with corporate bigwigs who hand them legislation to further their agenda.
Yeah, you know, David, it's interesting because, again, as I have shared, we've talked about them. Bruce Felk with the Rochester Citizen is the one that originally brought ELEC to our attention, and he actually went to New Orleans to their convention just a couple weeks back, and there was some controversy that came out of that in how not only how secretive they were, they actually roughed up some of the media that was there. There were certain people. Even those that were members, there are some Democrats that are members of ELEC, and you know, many of them have joined just to kind of get into the door to see what's going on. Even they were barred from some of these sessions because of their political affiliation, although they claim to be nonpartisan. How can that be?
Well, they claim to be nonpartisan, and you pointed out there are a few Democratic members, but when you look at their leadership, They have a leadership like a lot of organizations. There are about 104 lawmakers in leadership positions within ELEC, and there's only one Democrat among that 104. So this is a nominally nonpartisan group. What they're mostly about is trying to sort of do their business out of the public eye, but doing the public's business on behalf of corporations. And I think it's important kind of look at this in sort of a big picture way. The real issue isn't about the $1,400 that taxpayers of Michigan spent to cover the membership dues of those 14 Michigan lawmakers. It's really about what the real goal of ELEC is, which is basically to essentially infest states with a corporate agenda, and drive that agenda by providing actual model legislation to lawmakers to adopt and pass. And in return, these lawmakers get to rub shoulders with all these CEOs and other corporate bigwigs who all have the ability to provide campaign contributions to them when they run for office. And we're at this point in Michigan where they're just really with this recent takeover of the legislature by the Republican Party. We're at the beginning of what will be over the next couple years an attempt to really take complete control of the state government through ALEC and some of its allies.
Well, you know, interestingly, and let me just remind everybody, my guest is Dave Holtz, the executive director of Progress Michigan. You're going to find them online at progressmichigan.org. Of course, you can like them on Facebook, Progress Michigan. Dave, when we take a look at some of the legislation, and I'm going to call it templated legislation because for all intents and purposes, that's really what they're doing is they're writing legislation that you pretty much can just take and plug in the name of your state and maybe change a detail or two. And in fact, we've had some reports where, you know, they weren't edited as well as a lawmaker would have liked when they introduced them, and they had to kind of go back and remove a name that was supposed to be a Florida name or a Wisconsin name or an Indiana name. But you know, they've actually gone to that extent. You know, as we see, you know, the Republican leadership are cutting staffs here, staff budgets at the state level, and really giving them lawmakers a very limited budget on who they can staff. This is where ALEC feels is their strength, that they can fill that role that a human used to fill, a staff member used to fill. You don't need these people, folks. We're going to write legislation for you.
Yes, and it's very insidious because the way that these, you know, the reduction of staff support for lawmakers is a great example that you gave. It's all being sold as saving taxpayers money. And guess who's pushing that? It's ALEC. And they're pushing it, getting lawmakers here to basically sell the idea that we're going to save taxpayers money by reducing staff. And ALEC is telling the lawmakers, you don't really need these folks. We can do that for you. And we can do it for free because we get, you know, $1.4 million from folks like ExxonMobil to support our staff. And that's really the model for taking over a legislature is, you know, reducing other inputs into lawmakers from staff and replacing it with ALEC staff.
And they've done, I mean, certainly we should, I think, we should find it disturbing that this is a provable, a demonstrable way to certainly exhibit that major corporations, the Koch brothers and others, Walmart, the Meyer stores, that others are providing significant cash contributions to ALEC.
Yes, I mean there has been in this past year. Great work being done by a number of researchers who have exposed what ALEC's doing, their backroom, operations, and they've set it all up in a database on a website at alecexposed.com for journalists or anyone else to be able to research.
Yeah, hold that thought, Dave. We got to get to the break. Dave Holtz, again, my guest with Progress Michigan. Feel free to take your calls, 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. We're going to take a quick break here. More of what we're talking about when we continue right here on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
First Chip with Tony Trupiano.
We spend federal money to save money. Where is the limit? I think we could reach a point of absurdity.
I think you just did.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Hey, good morning. We're still working some accidents out there. 696 eastbound at Mound. There's one there on the shoulder. Then a little bit further along near 11 Mile, there's one there too. 75 northbound at 9 Mile, we have an accident on the shoulder there. Some good news, that 94 westbound accident at Van Dyke, that has cleared. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 70s. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 57. And then tomorrow, sunny once again, a high again in the upper 70s. Currently, it's partly cloudy and 65 at Detroit Metro Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
The Home Depot guarantees that you pay the lowest total price on carpet, pad, and installation. Plus, you can get special financing.
So you get the beautiful new carpet you've been waiting for, you get lifetime stain and installation warranties, and you save money every step of the way. So, bottom line, you won't find a better bottom line anywhere else with the lowest total price on carpet pad and installation guaranteed. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Truppiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Democrats are talking about job creation. Republicans are talking about how to protect the wealthiest Americans. How are we going to begin to bridge that gap?
That's what Democrats are for. President Obama from day one has been focused on getting our economy turned around. We've gone from bleeding 750,000 plus jobs a month to now, every month for the last 15 months, we've had job growth in the private sector.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back. Tony Truppiano with you. My guest, Dave Holtz, with Progress Michigan. We're talking about ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, and we do have a call, and it should surprise no one, and I was, of course, waiting on this call. And, David, let's welcome Bruce Felk to the conversation. Bruce, a pleasure to talk to you again, my friend. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I just wanted to point out, you know, what you were just talking about before the break is, you know, how they talk about saving money. First of all, my state legislator, Tom McMillan from the 45th District, is a member of ALEC. He just introduced, he's a chair of I forget which committee, but he just introduced a bill that would make Michigan a part-time legislature, which then leads to, obviously, smaller staffs and then, obviously, more influence for ALEC. So that's one point I wanted to make. You always talk about follow the money. You know, you look at the corporate donations from the ALEC members, and that's a huge issue. I was just, I haven't seen how much money Tom McMillan has received. But Tanya Shoemaker, who's the Michigan chair of ALEC, has received tens of thousands of dollars, and that's on the alecexposed.org. I think Dave said .com. It's actually alecexposed.org. And they have a list of all the ALEC legislators by state.
Actually, they both work. .com and .org works, just so you know, Bruce. But that's okay.
That's probably is a redirect. But anyway, it's not that important. But just so you can look and see how many dollars the ALEC legislators have received from all the corporate supporters of Alex.
Yeah, I think
so
Bruce.
The case of follow the money.
Yeah, absolutely. No, Bruce, and as always, I appreciate your call. David, you know, let's talk about how invasive this is because. You know, we are talking about an organization that is impacting our daily lives.
Yes, and as Bruce pointed out, some of these lawmakers are very well placed. He pointed out McMillan in the area that Bruce lives in. Dave Ajima, is an ALEC member. He's vice chair of appropriations, and Ellen Cowell is on appropriations. She's a member, the chair of the Energy and Technology committee, Ken Horn from Frankenmuth, he's an ALEC member. These are not inconsequential people. These are people with influence. And one of the things that that Bruce has been doing extraordinarily great work doing, as well as others, is trying to throw more of a spotlight on ALEC and the implications for Michigan. In Pennsylvania, the press has been all over this issue. Here in Michigan, right now, basically, the traditional media has been ignoring this issue, so we're going to keep hammering on it.
Well, you know, that's interesting, and we've had that conversation. We've had Bruce on the show as a guest to talk about ALEC, and of course, I've talked to it, and I'm talking with the ALEC exposed people now about doing. Quite a series that I'm ready to let the audience know about very soon. But you know, Dave Holtz, as we look at the mainstream media, you know, the obvious question is their advertising dollars come from the people that fund ALEC. So is there an assumption that could be made, and maybe a safe assumption that could be made, that they're just trying to watch out for their bottom line?
Well, we don't know. You know, it's hard to tell, and I have to say that, you know, with the way the corporate media is operated here, you know, in the last few years, the ranks of reporters have thinned out greatly, and the demands, the constant demands for the on them is greater than ever. So I think you really have to keep hitting home the importance and keep providing the information to them, and eventually I think they'll pick up on it.
Well, we'll see if they pick up on it. I did not know in Pennsylvania the media was all over this, so I'm going to consider that very good news, unexpectedly good news. Again, certainly statewide we've seen nothing. Locally we've seen nothing, so we'll just keep an open mind about that for now. Let's go back to the phone again if you care to join us, 888-552-3595, and welcome James in Detroit. James, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Who came up with the idea of the super committee, and what is the downside of the super committee? I'll take the answer off the air.
Well, James, we're not talking about that right now. So you're not going to get that answer off the air. We'll talk about that some other time. I guess sometimes, Dave Holtz, people aren't listening to the show when they call and ask questions. So,
well, they're listening to something.
Yeah, they're asked, but it certainly wasn't us. So appreciate the call nonetheless. You know, David, as we take a look, there were some documents that are on, by the way, the Progress Michigan website. So if you go there, you're going to see a press release that they have repurposed from We Are the People, and then there are some supporting documents. One of them is very difficult to read, and maybe I'm just getting old, but I had a real hard time figuring out what that document was, to be honest with you, Dave. So I guess once I'm asking for a little clarification. Do you know the document I'm speaking of?
Well, there's a couple on there. Could you?
It's the Michigan House of – it says Michigan House of Representatives, and I'm guessing – it's showing some kind of fee schedule. I just can't read it.
I see. Yes, those are simply the documents that were obtained by researchers under a Freedom of Information Act request from the House documenting the invoices that were paid to cover the memberships of those 14 lawmakers.
Well, so the question that I want to ask is it inappropriate for tax dollars to go to pay for lawmakers' memberships, and I'm sure there are other types of organizations they belong to. To be fair, the argument is this an unusual step that they're using taxpayer dollars to pay for their membership?
Well, I think it's something that we need to look at closely, because whether it's taken place in the past or not, or for whatever organizations, I think I'll give you an example. If one of these lawmakers had used taxpayer money to buy pay for their union membership or their Progress Michigan membership, I think we would have expected a howl of protest from Republican quarters and conservative quarters, who would have been really slamming them for paying money to these liberal left-wing organizations or whatever.
All right, I can live with that answer. Yeah. That's a good answer. All right, you listen very quickly, because we're just about out of time. You said the Sierra Club's honoring Progress Michigan this weekend, which is wonderful. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, annually, the Sierra Club membership, they have this one meeting a year. They obviously have a lot of other things that they're doing through the course of the year, but it's really once a year when the regular rank-and-file members of Sierra Club get together. And one of the things that they do is sort of recognize and honor individuals and organizations that really, for the work that they're doing to promote anti-pollution laws and other environmental issues. And one of the roles that we play at Progress Michigan is really very similar to what we're doing with Alex, which is we research, we push out a lot of information to the public on issues, a lot of stuff on energy. And this year they're recognizing the work that we did on environmental issues, and we're very honored to be recognized by them.
All right. Well, congratulations, and we'll look forward to seeing you again on this show next Thursday.
Great, Tony. Thank you.
As always, Dave Holtz, Progress Michigan. Quick break here when we continue. Made in USA. You've been wondering where it's at? Right here. I'm Tony Truppiano. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a few.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Still working. Plenty of accidents out there. Not sure what the deal is this morning. It's pretty nice out. And normally you see accidents like this only when it's raining constantly, but it's definitely not the case today. 75 southbound at 9 Mile, you have an accident there on the shoulder. Northbound side has an accident there on the shoulder as well. 696 westbound between Coolidge and Southfield, you're going to find some delays there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, pretty perfect. Mostly sunny, a high in the upper 70s. Tonight mostly clear, a low around 57. Then tomorrow, sunny, a high near 78 degrees. Currently it's partly cloudy and 65 at Detroit Metro Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Wisconsin Republican Congressman Paul Ryan is still giving his unemployed constituents the cold shoulder. But that's not stopping jobless workers from continuing to demand that Ryan at least pretend that he represents them as well as corporations. Jesse Russell has more.
On day 5 of the unemployed demanding a meeting with Wisconsin Representative Paul Ryan, protesters showing up in the morning were greeted by a locked office and security provided by the Kenosha Police Department. Scott Page is one of the Ryan 7, and he said the police told him they would not be allowed in the building without an appointment.
But we tried to call, and they won't answer the phone. So basically, they posted a police officer here that told us he would warn us one time before arresting us.
Meanwhile, a handful of protesters spent a second day spreading the demands for a face-to-face meeting at the Congressman's Racine, Wisconsin office.
On Friday, the AFL-CIO joins the King Center in hosting a national symposium on jobs, justice, and the American dream in Washington, D.C. It'll feature worker activists, civil rights activists, elected leaders, academics, and youth activists. AFL-CIO's Arlene Holt-Baker says the symposium is about highlighting the needs of struggling working families, the same families that Dr. King devoted his life to fighting for. Martin Luther King III says one of the last acts of his father's life was advocating for sanitation workers in Memphis, and Dr. King firmly believed that workers' rights were an essential element of civil rights. He says unions and their members were steadfast allies in the movement for human dignity championed by Dr. King.
A new program being launched by the Environmental Protection Agency could be good news for the unemployed. The EPA announced Tuesday it was hoping to use $6 million to specifically hire the unemployed as it moves forward on the Great Lakes Restoration Program. The agency is taking a page from Franklin D. Roosevelt's Depression-era Civilian Conservation Corps by earmarking the money. The program was designed to help the chronically unemployed get back on their feet and is often touted as one of the most successful aspects of the New Deal. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. I'm very, very, very excited to get to my next guest because this is something that I know this audience will dig in a big way. There's actually two somethings here. There's a website, and I've been kind of promoting it quite a bit the last couple of days, the website itself. And then there's a book that I started to read yesterday. I'm about 90% done, and so I will finish it today. But I certainly read more than enough of it where I can have an intelligent conversation about the book. But I will tell you, I got this guest by listening to my friend Ed Schultz. He and I are good friends. And I happened to be the other day when I was out speaking at the UAW Local 22, and I got in the truck. Yes, I got in my truck, Jeff. And as I was driving home, I had the Ed Schultz show on, and I heard my next guest, and I said, I got to get him on the show. So here he is. And he's joining us from California. Who is he? He is Todd Lipscomb. He is the founder and president of MadeInUSAForever.com, and you're going to want to go find it and bookmark it, as I did. Made in the U.S., MadeInUSAForever.com, MadeInUSAForever.com, and we'll, of course, get that on the Facebook page. And author of the new book, Remade in the USA, How We Can Restore Jobs, Retool Manufacturing, and Compete with the World. And, Todd, I want to welcome you to First Shift this morning.
Tony, it's great to be here. I really appreciate you having me this morning.
It is my pleasure, and I know it's awfully early where you're at, so and I know you got two young kids too, so we'll be quiet. We won't wake those kids, I promise.
Hey,
we got really two dynamic things here. Let's talk a little bit about the website first, and then the book. That title of that book, by the way, encompasses a lot of stuff, and I just want to let the audience know that it delivers on the promise, so that they understand that going in. But let's talk about MadeInUSAForever.com. How did you come up with this idea, Todd?
Oh, it's a little bit of a long story. I mean, as you know, I spent almost 7 years in Asia with Western Digital, and I was just haunted by what I'd learned over there, Tony. I mean, especially at the subcontractor level in places like China, with the lack of worker safety, the chemicals getting into the products. You may remember that 83 million toys were recalled a few years ago because of the lead in the paint, and so on with these foreign products. And I got back here and saw how little was still made here and how we'd lost so many factories, and these big retailers were, you know, part of the issue. And I wondered about my children's future. I actually remember holding my daughter in my arms for the first time 5 years ago after she was born and looking in her eyes and thinking to myself, Tony, is she going to know the America that I knew growing up, where the sky was the limit and, you know, every generation, you know, knew a better living standard than the one that exists now? And, you know, I questioned that. So I decided, you know what, I have to do something myself, and I take a stand.
Well, you know, It's interesting because anybody that has ever held their child knows that you do look into their eyes and you do ask yourself those questions. You truly do, Todd. You know, so you come up with this great website. Now, what's on there? The question is, it'd probably be easier to answer what's not on there. You know, and again, because I spent probably close to an hour the day that I heard about it, which was, I believe it was Monday. And so I spent a good hour on Monday, and then I spent a little more time Tuesday and some more time yesterday. And in fact, I'm putting a little shopping list together because there are stuff I'm going to start buying my jeans there. Because you can buy, I believe it's Texas Made or Texas Jean Company. Is that the name of the company?
There's several jean companies out there now, but the best value is Texas Jeans. We usually keep their classics at like $30. And by the way, everybody's welcome to just use this website as an information resource, too, for free. So they can see what kind of things are still made out there. We have over 2,700 products now from all over the nation. Almost all of these companies are small family-owned businesses where they know their workers and they're not going to sell them out. And, you know, it's been exciting and cool. It's a lot more work, you know, than being in the corporate world, but it's so much more satisfying, Tony.
All right, so here's the question. What if I make something in the USA? Can you help me get it onto your website? I mean, do you do that? Is there a portal or something there that I can actually submit my Made in the USA stuff?
On the left, product submission that'll give some information on the website, or they can just call us. I don't know if you want me to give the number.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, give out the number.
Yeah, it's a toll free number, 888-861-0365. Again, 888-861-0365. And ask for some information. We just need it to really be made here out of American components, so that it can be really labeled Made in USA. Those are basically my only requirements besides safety and, good taste.
Well, no, I mean, that's fair, Todd Lipscomb. I don't think that's unfair. And by the way, you can also, if you look in that left side column, folks, you can also buy Todd's book there, which is the way I would, you know, it's just easy. It's right there. So if you just click on there, you'll buy it. Before we get into talking about the book, I need to ask you why the book. I mean, listen, you got your hands full just running this website, and again, this is an important resource. There is nothing else like it out there. You know, the number one the rule of marketing is be the first. Well, you accomplish that, but part of that, Todd, has to require that, you know, you dedicate a lot of time to this. So why did you decide to stop and say, you know what, I need to write a book?
I was finding that there was a lot of sympathy out there for what we're doing, but, you know, people, you know, they claim to be unaware of it, or they, you know, perhaps they weren't really searching beyond their, you know, what they saw on the shelves. So they assumed that they walked into Mega Mart or can I say at Walmart, you know, and they don't see an American-made product that, oh, well, you know, I've done my duty, I looked at two labels and just bought whatever was in front of them. And I wanted to get past that and break through to that next level of people that I know that are out there. If you stop somebody in the street and say, you know, hey, you know, if, you know what, if we made more here, we'd have more jobs. Of course, everyone agrees with that, right? And if we bought more of what we make, we'd have more jobs, and pretty much, you know, everyone agrees with that. So, you know, why not take it to that next level and have more people active with it? And so the book seemed like a good opportunity to get into the mainstream media more, to get more people thinking about this issue. You know, Barnes & Noble picked it up, Hudson's and all the airports picked it up. And, I think we're making some good progress on that front, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, again, it's an interesting dialogue. I'm going to get to the phones, and then we'll talk more about the book Remade in the USA. Let's welcome Dave in Oregon, Ohio. Listening to the show, Dave. Welcome. You're on the air with Todd.
Yeah. Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Hey, Todd. I've talked to you before. You personally signed a book and mailed it to me. Yeah.
Hey, Dave.
I found
one
of the few grill manufacturers in the USA. It's Huntington out of Huntington, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Better quality, has all stainless steel burners. Next to it says Chinese crap. Mm-hmm. That was the same price. Mm-hmm. So they're hanging in there. Now, has anybody done a study on how much the markups are? Let's take a Nike shoe. For Nike, to use cheap labor in China.
Right.
They're going to do a, what, a 400% markup. Mm-hmm. Walmart's going to get a 200-300% markup. If those stats were somewhere available on your website, just examples of it, mm-hmm. that you could, I think the only tennis shoe manufacturer now that's hanging on by a thread is WalkFit. But it might show that you could manufacture them here, but maybe only make 100% profit with our own labor here at home.
All right. Well, Dave, I appreciate that comment. I do appreciate the call. Todd, quickly, before we have to go to break, did you want to respond to what Dave had to say?
Sure. Dave, thank you so much for the tip and making these excellent points. Yeah, pretty much there's still good margins if you can make it in the USA. We talked about the jeans. You know, Levi's shipped it to China, so they're probably paying somebody $2 to make them there or something like that, and they're still selling them for over $50 here. So, you know, their CEO gets a huge cut. You know, the retailer's getting a big cut. But, you know, whatever happened to the savings that was supposed to be passed along to us, you know, it just didn't materialize. But yet these American companies, say they're small family-owned, like I mentioned, can make them here. And, yes, they can only make they make a good margin still. It's just not the crazy margins that these companies make buying from China.
Yeah, no question. You know, and it's interesting because I will tell you that when I was on MadeInUSAForever.com, you know, some of the stuff was considerably cheaper than I've seen it in stores or online or in catalogs. Some of it I was a little more expensive than I've seen it in stores and in catalogs or online. But the point to be made here, Todd, is that, you know, competitively, they're right there. The website's right there, and you're not necessarily controlling, you know, what the Texas Jeans Company charges for their jeans, but it's important for people to understand that, you know, you can't say that you walk the walk and talk the talk if you're not doing that. Here's an opportunity for us to support literal American-made companies. We help these companies prosper. You know, we just might see that grow. I mean, there might be more people that are willing to make that kind of investment and stay here and not move their manufacturing or maybe start a company. And you talk about starting a company in your book.
Absolutely. Yeah, anybody that's really making it here should contact me, and, you know, we'll do all we can to support them because it's important, isn't it? I mean, and you're absolutely right. Every purchase that somebody makes, I mean, it passes straight on to wherever they are, and it's not just that person sewing those jeans. I mean, somebody had to mill it. Somebody had to grow the cotton. It's all USA stuff. We're keeping it here at the virtuous circle of economic activity with in our own nation. We've got our own stimulus plan and, you know, going, and we don't even need to raise taxes or add to the debt. We can just make our economy stronger ourselves if we're just a little bit smarter about it.
Absolutely. Todd, stay with us through the break. We'll keep you a couple minutes on the other side. Tom Lipscomb again, my guest. Again, we're going to have this up on the Facebook page, but Made in USA Forever.com. Actually, it's already up there, but we'll repost it. So, and actually, Todd already did. So there it is. My Todd, not. Oh, never mind. You get it. We'll take the break and we'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, are you a flake?
Well, I think that would be insulting.
But you understand when I say that's what the rap on you is.
On 1310 WDTW.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road.
Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And just a reminder, my guest is Todd Lipscomb, and he is the founder of MadeInUSAForever.com and author of the new book, Remade in USA, How We Can Restore Jobs, Retool Manufacturing, and Compete with the World. And again, if you go to the website, MadeInUSAForever.com, you can buy the book right there. Of course, all the .coms where books are sold, but he makes it easy to just go to the website and do it. Hey, Todd, we got a couple minutes left here. I did want to wanted to make sure we spent a little more time talking about the book. You do have a unique perspective. You did spend time overseas, certainly in the Asian markets. You understand.
Right.
I think you have a unique understanding, and you certainly your own testimonial where you're at now certainly is a reflection of that understanding. If I'm an unemployed guy and I can scrape the money together to buy this book, what would I get out of it?
Well, you know, we do face a number of challenges, Tony, and I really appreciate your passion on this issue. It really does make a huge difference. I hope that that the individual not just gets this important information, and by the way, they could go to the library and get it too if they're unemployed. I would want them to be very careful with their money. But I also hope in the end that they're energized by it to take action and to, help our country become strong again. I mean, yes, the situation's dire and it's going to get darker before it gets lighter. But we are going to turn this around. You know, we're Americans and we're at some point going to decide that we're going to do what we do best, like we did in 1939 when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. Roll up our sleeves and fix these problems. There is hope still, and we are going to change this situation. And it's just really a matter of awakening the beast before we take action. And the problem is the apathy right now. And any help we can get from folks like that or any of your listeners to deal with this apathy issue. You know, it's interesting to me. It wasn't communism. It's not Islam that's our enemy. It's apathy that is the true enemy of democracy. And together we can open some eyes and make sure people understand that they really have a choice and that daily decisions really do make a difference.
Well, Todd, again, I want to thank you for your time today. Again, the website is on the Facebook page, but MadeInUSAForever.com. The book, again, Remade in the USA, How We Can Restore Jobs, Retool Manufacturing, and Compete with the World. Again, Todd, thank you for your time. We will definitely have you back in the very near future.
Oh, it'd be my pleasure, Tony, anytime.
All right, best of luck to you. Thank you so much. All right, folks, let me give you some announcements before we get out of here today, because we always want to do that. And, you know, Jeff, for some reason, I never got to the farting story. I don't know. Do you think we have time? We'll save it.
Yeah, we'll see. That interesting. I just thought it was...
No, you know what? It was. It's actually ridiculous. But no, so now I got to mention it. Now let me mention it, because Jeff sends me, you know, links, you know, the things he liked me to read or talk about on the show, whatever. And one of them is a headline that says, "This exists. U.S. Marines in Afghanistan ordered not to fart audibly." And apparently the Afghanis are offended by the sound of flatulence, which is seems ridiculous to me, because it's not like Afghanistan people don't pass gas, because they obviously do. We all do. It's a bodily function. But somehow it's offensive to them when they hear it, right? And so is it okay to smell it, is my question? I don't know.
Well, I mean, and I looked at it the other way. It's not necessarily, I mean, think about it. In American society as well, it's thought of as kind of rude. I mean, so it's kind of weird to make that mandate, as to put it out there. Like, it's got to be, you got to do it this way. I mean, excuse yourself and leave, I guess. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, no. You make a good point, because it's you know, can you imagine if we certainly would feel the same way. So if you're... You know, folks, if you're, you know, coming from Afghanistan here and you happen to be listening to us via shortwave radio or something, please don't fart in my presence, because I really wouldn't appreciate it. Who enjoys it, Jeff, unless you're a bunch of 12-year-old boys? You know, nobody's walking around. I mean, can you imagine if we didn't, if our culture said, hey, it's not a problem. You know, you're sitting at the boardroom and all of a sudden, you know, this... You know, wonderful, you know, whatever, standing in front of the room, and she just kind of, you know, kind of squats a little and just lets one out. Come on, that's not what kind of society we live in.
Well, I think another point, I don't know if it was made too strongly in this, but it was that they don't understand English. You know, the soldiers don't understand the language they're speaking. So if you did something like this came along, it wouldn't be like you could say, oh, excuse me. I mean, I don't know if they would know what that means.
Well, farting's kind of a universal language, isn't it? You don't need a translator to know what the hell that's all about. I just thought it was odd that they were told they couldn't do it. I mean,
yeah, the memo or the point that it was made, like, that's it. Rule is rule.
Yeah, it's just weird stuff. All right, so I could get it in. See how easily that worked? All right, let me get to some announcements here. As we reminded you yesterday, Colors Detroit has their opening gala on September 12th. You are invited. If you go to thetonyshow.org, right on the front page, there's going to be a link that'll take you right to all the information. So please check that out. Also, on Friday, September 16th, from 6 to 8 o'clock at the Sacred Heart Church Activities Building, which is right across from the McDonald's, right by the Eastern Market, program called sponsored by the Michigan Alliance to Strengthen Social Security and Medicare. Are You Really Covered is the topic, and the speakers that are invited are Senator W. Stabenow, Congressman Conyers, Hanson Clark, and Marcy Kaptur from Ohio. Max Richman is the executive director of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. And the primary speaker will be Janet Witt, who is the grassroots manager of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. We also, this evening, want to remind you, this evening at IBEW Local 58, that's on Abbott Street near Porter and Trumbull, it's the Speak Out, Speak Up rally, sponsored by Rainbow Push Detroit, and you can find more information about that on rainbowpushdetroit.com. That's rainbowpushdetroit.com, or I'm sorry, .org, rainbowpushdetroit.org. And they have some other stuff coming up, but we'll wait till we get closer to that to get that to you. And then also today at 11 o'clock this morning, the youth face leaders to march today for a solution to recent shootings. The march seeks cooperation from the mayor, the chief of police, and the U.S. attorney. The Youth Voice is the name of the organization. And today at 11 a.m., starting in Hart Plaza, is asking the city to implement a violence reduction program. It's called Cease Fire. So if you'd like to support that, go on down to Hart Plaza this morning at 11 a.m., easy to find, right in the heart of the city of Detroit. Wow, I got that all in with 47 seconds to spare. How about that? All right, that'll do it for us for today. I want to thank all of you. A great show. I want to remind you, tomorrow we've got State Senator Bert Johnson, who has an issue with me. So you're going to have to tune in tomorrow to find out what that issue is, respectfully. But he's got an issue with me. Joe DeSano, of course, with Main Street Strategies. Dr. Jennifer Martin will be with us to talk about Women's Equality Day. Women's Equality Day is tomorrow, and we'll get you all the information on that. I want to thank Jeff and Todd, for without them, this just doesn't happen. And, of course, you. We need you to make it happen as well. I'm Tony Truppiano. Again, off air, tony@thetonyshow.org. I love to hear from you. And, as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Still looking at some accidents out there on the freeway. 696 westbound. As you get close to 75, there's still one there on the shoulder. 94 westbound at Cadieux, we have an accident there blocking the center lane. 696 eastbound at Mound, yes, another accident on the shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast of the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high near 79. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 57. Then tomorrow, sunny once again, a high near 78. Currently, it's partly cloudy and 67 at Detroit Metro Airport.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.